Blog Talk Radio.
The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Gourmet, turn up espresso coffee, healthy snack, bendy, wrap, and bright and healthy, high-tech.
330-781-9600 or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you? How are you? How are you? Let me turn my headphones up a little bit so I can hear somebody. How you doing out there? This is Jeff in the Air Chair, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, and we're about to start the big show again. Oh, yeah, everybody's ready and anxious and willing. So many things are happening, so many things, and we just hope that your lunch is going well here as you listen to us on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial or by Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends, or at iHeartRadio at WSOM 600 AM as well on iHeart. We're heard in a lot of places, and we're going to get this thing underway today, and we hope that everything finds you well. With all the changes that are being announced, it's getting really raggedy out here with the healthcare law, and I found out yesterday that my healthcare has changed drastically because of the bill, and is going to change drastically over the next 3 years as they phase in different parts of Obamacare. I'm praying that this last Supreme Court hearing makes some major, huge changes, because with what they're going to do, they're going to make me, I'm on a fixed income. I'm not going to be able to do anything. I can't put my wife on my health care after 3 years. That'll be over. They said they're gonna rethink the position after 2017. But, you know, what do I do till 2017 after I've retired? Well, I'm not going to worry about it in a sense, because I'm going to say that God is my source. It seems like it's going to be a mess out here for a lot of people and a lot of things. And I want you to pay attention, because I know one man got in trouble, and I think he was wrong, when the president said, if you have your health care plan, you don't have to worry about it, you can just keep it. Well, that's not what's happening. They are changing those plans as we speak. They are charging us more money. My deductibles went up a total of $1,500 for the start of this coming year. $1,500, which puts more of a burden on me to pay my co-pays and this, that, and the other, when I'm not going to get a raise, you know, from my retirement system. If I do, it'll never keep up with the cost of that health care. It would be something like, you know, maybe about $50 a month, something like that, maybe, when your deductibles have gone up $1,500 a year. And that puts them at $2,500 and 1,500 on the thing, and that makes it a lot more than that because that's $5,000. So 4,000, but still, it doesn't matter. They are changing this thing. Now, when the representative hollered in the address that the president was giving, the State of the Union address, he hollered, "You lie." He was absolutely correct. It was a lie. And it was a lie that you're going to be able to keep your plan that you already had in place. No, you're not. Your plan will not be the plan that you had. It'll be some different plan. And I want you guys to wake up now. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that didn't have any health care, so it's all good news to them, and I agree. I understand. I ain't mad at you because I think we should have done something about health care in America. But what they're doing now is a mess, and it is so much of a mess that they're going to have 9,000, count it, ladies and gentlemen, 9,000 new IRS agents to implement this plan. Now, I don't know where those 9,000 agents come in through 2013, 2014 or not, they come all at one time or they're spaced out over the life of the, the situation. So I'm just saying this is getting ready to be a mess. And this is what many of you out here voted for. Now, I'm wondering why. I don't know the people under the sound of my voice. I want you to give me a call here at 330-781-9600 and 1-347-945-5229. I want you to tell me why you think this is a good idea and why you voted for the president again. Now, I know I'm in the area I live in, there's plenty of those calls. Now, the people that are listening, I don't know. But I want to know, with all of the stuff that I'm saying here, why do you think this is a good idea? It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. I had a song ready to play. It's the end of the world as we know it. And it is. It's the end of the world as we know it right now. You don't have any idea what you've just put yourself in for. You're sitting up here on a powder keg of everything. You have a powder keg in the Middle East that was created by this administration. And I don't want to hear, "Oh, he didn't do anything. Those people been fighting." No. The Arab Spring was organized by the Obama administration. And you should know that. And I know that you don't want to know that, many people, because you don't want to know the truth. It's just like I told some people, even with the implementation of the health care plan, 30 to 32 million people would still be left without care by the year 2017. They said, "I never heard that before." I said, "I've been telling you that all this time," because these are people at my barbershop or, you know, the guys that watch sports together, this, that, and the other, and hang out. But they act as though, you know, they never heard these things that are going on. And I'm saying, you can't be serious. You cannot be serious. How are you going to ignore what you plainly saw written across the screen? Or were you that blinded? Were you that put in, how should I say, a doggone trance during the election that you were like a mind-numb robot going to the polls? Is that what happened? Why doesn't that work on everybody? And why did it make and work on just enough people to win? Oh, you're asking for it, ladies and gentlemen. You are asking for it. Whenever you ask government to be your source, then you are asking to have troubles in a tribulated way. No. We're not sitting here with, just we hate Obama. No, I don't hate President Obama at all. I don't hate him. I wish him the most success at making rules and regulations and policies that will protect the United States. Although I don't see any of them that I think he's done yet that have. That's my opinion. Opinion. I'm not telling you because I don't know all of the intelligence. I just know some. And so I'm looking at this thing. People, do you realize what you are doing? Do you realize what you just did? You asked for 4 more years of misery, and I can't believe that you did. Unemployment rate is sky high. Sky high. Okay. And lethal migraine, this is not Tracy, this is Jeff, and guess what? I do not hate the president. I absolutely hate his policies. So now, and no, the Bush administration wasn't great. The Bush administration made mistakes. They spent like drunken sailors. Give me a call at 1-347-945-5229 and we'll talk about it. Don't snipe at me from the room here. So if you got something, call it in, and don't worry about it. But anyway, the whole situation is people always want to go back and blame it on old presidents and things like this. This is this president. He's there for 4 years, and he's screwed things up and made them worse as far as how things are working. But he made a whole lot of you believe that we just have to do more of the same. You can't borrow any more money. There's no more money to borrow. You can't pay back what you borrowed already. So the only thing you have coming is a crash. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that either you were fooled or you're a fool. I take that back. I can't call nobody no fool. Lord, I ask forgiveness right now on the air because that's wrong. Okay, following in the footsteps of Mr. My man from the Soul Train Music Awards. Why I can't think of some things right at that moment, I can't understand. But Jamie Foxx announcing a thing, giving honor to God, and then also following it up with, and our Lord and our Savior, Barack Obama. I cringe when I think of those words in the same sentence still. I cringe. Cannot believe that anybody said it. But now there's a painting out that has Obama depicted as the crucified Christ. He has a crown around his head, and they have him crucified on the presidential seal of the United States of America. You guys are really taking this thing to a point. You really are taking it to a point that's going to be very dangerous to America. you might think that it was cool. You might think that this is funny, but it is not funny. When you look at your country and you look at the things that are happening to it, I know many of you don't believe in the Bible, so you just close your ears right now. But these things are of biblical proportion. And you're going to pay a price for it. There's no doubt about it. But guess what? We'll be back on the other side of these messages. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Give me a call here and talk to me about it.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
At the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Lucas Inovich & Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse treatment group. We address a wide range of addictions and mental health issues for adolescents and adults. We're currently accepting new clients at our Boardman office. If you need help, call us at 1-888-440-0982 to schedule an appointment. We accept public and private insurances. Lucas Inovich & Associates is a subsidiary of Consortium Clinical Services. Call 1-888-440-0982 for an appointment. That's 1-888-440-0982.
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this, if your feet are hard to fit, Ryer's is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryer's offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryer's, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. But Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th. For a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again with the big show, 1228. Here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, and we are here talking to you about what's on your mind, and I want to get, a little bit of what's on our mind saying to back to you. And we're talking about a number of things here today, and the numbers here are 1-347-945-5229 and 330-781-9600. I want you guys to give us a call and talk about the subjects that we're talking about. And we got into a real long conversation yesterday about what was and wasn't real, and is God real, and this, that, and other. And I don't know how many of you that are listening believe in God or don't believe in God. I wish I had a little poll ticker I could do right online. And, and you can probably go to Tracy and Friends and say, yeah, I believe or I don't believe. So I just wanted to bring that up. So if you believe, if you're in the chat room and you believe, go ahead and say, I believe. That's all I want to do. Right there, because I just want to see what people are thinking. Because they say this, than it was 8 years ago. They say that there's only, there was like 90% of the people said they believed in God. Now there's like a 30% of the people, which means there's a lot of people that dropped and fell off from saying that they're believers. And I understand it with all the craziness that's out here and the crazy teaching that some places have, because most people have not taken the time to study the Bible and give you the truth. Some religions tell you that only the minister can, read that word and rightly, interpret it, which is incorrect as well. And, you know, these things are things that put people off, because those are religious thoughts and religious beings. But I'm not going to, that part of it, we just want to see who does and who doesn't. Very, very, very few people, they say, believe anymore. And then I see my man Stanley. Stanley, you are consistent, man. I love you. No, if you study the Bible, you find out that it's absolutely correct. And there's nothing that contradicts itself in the Bible. And you can't show it to me. And so if you show it to me, I'd be glad to say, this is great. Typing it loud doesn't let the listening people hear you, Stanley. But anyway, so we're talking about that thing, but we're also going to, let's talk about this. Susan Rice, who is probably the number one pick of people. Thank you, Bill. I have one believer. Susan Rice has gone to Capitol Hill to meet with the senators that are going to have to vote, or the House people are going to have to vote on her being the new Secretary of State, as Hillary Clinton is going to step down at the beginning of the year. But I'll say this to you. She came, and they're telling me, the news reports are saying, that she still is saying that the attacks on Benghazi were whipped up by the anti-Islam photograph or little film that was on the internet. She's still saying that. And I'm saying that if she's saying that, then Barack Obama knows, President Obama knows that he has the political clout to win this, and he's saying, kiss my behind. Because if she's not offering the truth, at least to say, well, even if they didacted things and took things apart, this is what they told me. And so I had to report what my superiors told me to report, because they had their reasons for not doing whatever. And my reason is to do anything but follow orders from the person that hired me. Susan Rice is not an independent office being a Secretary of State. She is the Secretary of State, and she serves at the pleasure of the people and the president. The president is her direct supervisor and boss. Now, before she did this, I was all for this, saying, you know what, she didn't do anything but follow orders. So it's really not on her. Go ahead and confirm her as Secretary of State. Well, I have since changed that view if this is what she's done, because it is absolutely crazy for her to still keep this story going that it had something to do with the film. Or it's just like when President Obama was talking to Israel, and he told him, well, any kind of negotiations are going to have to make you have to give the land back to pre-1967 borders. Well, let me tell you something. And whether you guys believe me or not, all that was saying was that he has total disdain for Israel. That's all it was saying. He was taking it a whole lot further than he needed to say those things, knowing that that is not going to work or not going to be adhered to. But I think he thinks he has the upper hand now. And because he got elected again and he's still in control of all the buttons, that he can push whatever he wants to and give it to you and you're going to take it. Oh, you're going to see. All right. Black Soul Train Awards, he's the Lord and Savior. Here on Drudge Report, somebody's painted him as the crucified Christ. He is neither one and nowhere near either one. If he's a believer, he's barely that. And I would say he is not a believer because of his own words. If you mess with Israel, you will see immediate judgment on the United States of America. Now, I'm telling you this, whether you believe me or not, but I'm telling you, write it down. Write it down. Whenever we mess with Israel, the Bush administration pushed Israel a little bit. And we got Katrina. Barack Obama pushed Israel. And we got a couple hurricanes and some other things. And then we also got Sandy. If you don't think they're tied, mark my words. 334-557, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Alabama.
Not much. Been listening to you guys' show. Been enjoying it. I really was just calling to listen today. I really didn't have too much to say.
That's all right. You can hang in there. And
yeah, I was just calling to listen. But I saw something, this article, something about the Russians say the ignorant people reelected something about the ignorance of how America reelected Obama or something like that. So
who
I just
who
found
said that
real interesting.
Who said that, Russia?
Yeah, there's an article. It's either an ad or something like that. A lot of people are mad about it, but it's just saying a lot of dumb people and them people in America are stupid. Basically, that's what they're saying.
Well, they aren't so much stupid as they are ignorant. And see, I had a conversation with a close family member.
Whoa, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between stupid and ignorant?
Stupid is you ignore the facts. Ignorant, you don't know the full truth.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that's interesting. I would argue to say the difference between stupid and ignorant is people that are ignorant, they just don't know, and they act in a certain way because they don't know. But
right.
You can enlighten an ignorant. Ignorant people can be enlightened.
Yes. They can be.
But
that's what I'm saying.
A stupid person fights to stay unenlightened, to stay
yes.
ignorant.
Yes, you're right.
So in that regard, I don't, you know, and that's the thing. I know people say, okay, you got all the answers, you Republican. No, but, I mean, we got a scandal in Alabama today. A guy was found stealing. They just hired a new president, the black HBCU, right?
Ooh,
they have
yeah.
a politician over here that's getting $150,000. All the students do is go in there and sign their name on the roll. He doesn't come to class. He gets a six-figure salary plus whatever salary he gets from the state. This guy's making millions. He just built a $60 million stadium. A lot
wow.
of his friends and cronies got money out of that. But guess what? All these people are Democrats. They've been getting voted in there since I was a baby. And these people are raping these people blind. And the thing that I say is stupid is, these are the same people that were upset because there were unchallenged Republicans on the ticket. So
they do it every time, and this is now when you have that, you have stupidity going on. Okay.
Well, he just fired the president. The president was there 2 months, and then he fires the president And he's the interim now. This guy's placed himself as the interim president and fired the – they can't do that because of their bylaws. So he's going to the feds. This is going to be probably be a big story, at least in Alabama it will be. And I'm just saying, you know, I see stuff like this, and this guy is the same guy that, you know, these black people, they swear by. He always plays these commercials with Martin Luther King voices and just makes a fool out of people. Right? These are the people that really started the bus boycott. And they getting played. I mean, it's just, I don't see any, you know, and that's the thing, is I can't really feel sorry for people if you are emphatically ignorant and you want to be ignorant and you want to, you know, the facts are right there in your face and you refuse to accept them. Mm-hmm. Then you move from being ignorant to stupid.
Well, I can't disagree with you, but because being ignorant of the fact is one thing, but when somebody tells you the fact and then you insist upon, you know, not looking at it, because my biggest thing was it came over the state of Israel, and I told somebody that Obama has a hatred or disdain or a hatred for Israel, and they said he does not. I said yes, he does. I said, and then after there was a brief argument, I said, have you read his books?
Well, the question you have to ask a black person is, who does he care for more, the Palestinians and the Muslims over there in the Middle East or black people? Mm-hmm. Who's he giving $147 million? Who is he giving billions of dollars to go after Israel? I mean, this guy, that's who he cares about. I mean, black people,
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you are absolutely correct. But the thing
but
is,
you have to knock Republicans too, because I would, if I was in there, I would be trying to pump this legislation to empower. See, you're not really empowering people by just giving them checks. See, you really empower people when you start telling them that they signing checks and writing the payroll. Now you're giving people power and authority and certain, because now you can go in and pay a lobbyist if you are successful in your business. See, they know that. They're not really trying to empower black people. They're using them as a They're just pumping them like sheep, like
they
sheep.
Hurt,
you know,
this is what happens. They keep black people in a particular state, and that is just making it. They don't really want you to get ahead. They don't want you to, you know, to get real far behind. But they, you know, they don't mind if you get behind. They just don't want you to get ahead, because then you're independent. And if you get independent, you might not vote for them like you did before. And that's what they're afraid of. So they give you crumbs. They never help you develop your own neighborhoods. And that's how they keep you voting at the Democrat trough. That is their way.
I struggle with right now. I'm looking at this guy who's probably, I mean, I ain't trying to, I mean, I hope he goes to jail.
Okay,
hold
that thought, because I have to go to some news. Stanley, you'll be up right after the news as well. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark from WSOM News. A man is being held in the Mahoning County Jail on two and a half.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say I disagree with you when you're saying I'm a liberal. I'm a person who voted for Obama. So when you're saying can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when you're saying I don't know the issue, I know the issue. And I'm sorry to say, a lot of Republicans are not the best thing in the world. When you think
Stanley, all I'm saying is, I'm in Alabama. I'm in a microcosm, a small community where they've been voting Democrat for 50, 60. These people have been voting Democrat for years, and I'm telling you right now, these guys are raping these people, taking the money, putting it in their pocket, become black people, black city councilmen. These people are crooked in this city right here, and it's just like that in Detroit, just like that in all these cities, all these where black people vote, they get shafted and screwed more than anybody. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, hold people. This is what I'm saying. They're not even holding these people accountable once they get elected. Everybody just say, hey, Barack Obama. Not only did they vote Barack Obama, they voted straight Democrat all the way down the ticket. I went to vote. They gave me a whole list of all these people. The same people that they got up for indictment right now are the same. Was on that list.
Like I've told you many times, when you have 8 years that you had a government, George Bush, that was, hey, when George Bush was in power.
Dude, look, we're talking about black folks that was in office when Bush was there, that's sticking these people.
Okay. Well,
they're screwing these people, dude. What are you talking about?
Okay, so you think Romney would have been better? Let's be real. You think
man,
Romney
fuck Romney. I'm not talking about Romney. I'm talking about the principal, dude. Like, you're trying to just go into Barack, give Barack his chance. Stupid,
okay,
man,
okay,
look.
But
it's a good thing we on radio, because I would probably say it worse than that.
We had two people, Romney or Obama. Which one?
Look, honestly, I didn't want either one. Not even talking about Jeb Bush. I don't want Jeb Bush in there. I don't want none of them in there.
Okay,
but don't say I voted for Romney.
Do you have any other person we have in there? We don't have no Romney.
Hold on. I'm kind of go down the road with you, Stanley. Let me ask you this. If you look at what the basic, purest form of what a government is supposed to do, is defend the borders of its country. Am I right? Right? That's the basic fundamentals of a country.
They about
if you just
or
have,
yesterday
if you
about
any other form,
my
go ahead.
A healthcare plan is going to drastically change under the Obamacare Act. And I see this, that we've turned into a nation of grabbers and those, instead of them trying to make their own way, they're looking at ways to build a system or use a system to get their own way. Now, they've had some good examples because people steal all the time. But, you know, when you're talking about is all of the people that are on welfare needs and checks and assistance right now, you're talking about a huge number of people. And you're talking about a huge number of people that don't know what it is to get out there and make a move and get some things done. That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. We have to get to the place where we start recognizing that the United States is a land of opportunity, not the land of equal outcomes.
Opportunity. Yeah, right.
I blame the Republicans this time.
Jeff, let me ask you a question.
And I blame them for this reason. And I'm a Republican. And a very active Republican. So nobody talk any noise about me, you know, from the party itself. This is why. Because you refuse to defend yourself. You let the left say anything and everything that they can, and you ignore it as if to say, well, I'm not that, so I don't even have to, I'm not even going to respond to that. No. You misunderstand. They're playing a game, a psychological game, with the minds of the people of America, and they have them where they want them by reason of the being able to buy votes through the welfare system, through the assistance system, period. And now they have control of a healthcare system which will control every part of your life. Every single part of your life. Now tell me that that's what you want. 330-781-9600. Stanley.
Yeah.
What's going on, Liberal One?
No problem, Jeff. Like usual, always candling the worst thing in the world, like you're always saying.
What's the worst thing in the world?
Like what you're saying. You think that you still think that we have the American dream? That you think that everything's fair? Just work hard, people, and you'll make it in this great world. You know that we have. Do you know that we have so much inequality between a CEO and an employee that you don't even see it? That's why you will never win an election.
You always did, Stanley. And here's the thing. And guess what? It's not going to change. You know why?
It's not going to change for you. You don't want to change. And I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's going to change.
Whoa. I'm sick and tired of people being rich, being richer, are sick and tired of seeing profit, are sick and tired of growing 200%, are sick and tired of you being like, oh, give to the rich and they will create jobs, which is which is not true at all, which if you read some economy and history, which a lot of Republicans don't, when you come with facts, you want to come with facts anytime you want, Jeff. Go ahead with your mentality.
Okay. Okay.
What facts do you have? What facts do you have?
Hold on,
facts,
Alabama, I got to answer this one now. Okay, Stanley, here's the deal. The people that have money, this is what was so asinine about the last election, and I say anybody that went for this is asinine, and they're stupid, not just ignorant, they're asinine and they're stupid. You had a party hollering, we're going to build this economy from the bottom up and from the middle out. What kind of foolishness is that? When you're talking, then you're gonna come into office riding the wave of we've got to raise the taxes on the rich.
Okay,
we have to take. I'm not done. Sit
go
still,
ahead.
Young man.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Now,
I'm going to hang you up if you don't let me finish my thought. I'm getting ready to mute you, Stanley. Now, once again, you ride into office with this foolishness of building from the bottom up in the middle out. And then you're going to catch the rich to get more money out of their pocket. Why do you need to get more money out of the rich pocket if nothing trickles down? Everything is built from the bottom up and the middle out. That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life, and a majority of the Americans went for it. Now, you may speak, sir.
Okay. What about, let's see, what kind of Republicans are so foolish that they think that just because we tax less the rich, that they're going to create jobs. And then by taxing less the rich, which is the Reaganomics, which every Republican and conservative are so happy about, that basically the middle class will get a good salary, and out of their good decency, the rich will basically create jobs, which is foolish, Jeff. Because
no, it's not foolish at all.
Yes, Jeff. You want
okay, now, hold up, Stanley.
I have no problem bringing you the facts anytime you want. Because
okay,
Reaganomics
now,
never worked.
Well, let's
it never
no, that's,
worked.
No, I don't know about Reaganomics or Reaganomics.
Trickle-down thing. Tax
that's the only way it works, Stanley.
No,
there's
no
other way it can't.
No, it doesn't, Jeff. No, it
Stanley.
Doesn't. Stanley. Go on facts, it doesn't.
Stanley, how do you create wealth from the bottom? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
I said, how do you create wealth from the bottom?
You create wealth from the bottom by giving the bottom the chance to basically have a better life.
How?
Like healthcare?
Owning businesses.
Wait, owning businesses? Yeah, I want Stanley to answer it, really, Alabama. That's the only reason. I want him to talk his way right into this because I'm going to show him the error of his way. Because this is so elementary. Go ahead, Stanley. How do you give somebody on the bottom the chance to make money?
How are you so sure that rich people, if you tax them less, which is your plan?
Answer the question.
No, I have no problem answering the question. You do it by
answer it. You got all the answers.
Come
answer
on, Alabama.
Owning the businesses, cutting the health care. Giving more a chance with the mortgage, creating jobs, or owning, like you said.
Quick, creating what? Creating jobs how? Out of thin air?
No, creating jobs by showing the people that you can't depend to be working for somebody.
Okay, Stanley. The only way, now I'm going to show you how the only way you make money, okay? You have to have a skill, a product, or an idea that somebody else wants and is willing to pay you for. That is the only way you create wealth in a capitalistic government. Okay? You can't do it by giving them health care because guess what? You have to tax people to get health care.
Okay.
You have to
but
tax
but
people to give
Jeff,
welfare.
Jeff, you still don't answer the question. I listen to what you're saying. I agree with everything you're saying. You don't see the biggest picture.
I see the whole picture, Stanley. Let me answer your question then.
I answer your question. Let me ask you a question.
You never answered the question.
I said it's by owning a business, by having your own business, and not being a person who's going to work for
and
somebody.
Okay, if you own your business, who buys from you, Stanley?
Who what?
Who buys from you if you own a business?
Clients.
Huh?
Clients.
Clients that have what?
Money.
Money. Clients that have money. A novel idea. My good man.
Okay. And
guess what? And so where did that money come from, Stanley? Thin air, right? That money comes from thin air. Does it come from people that already have some money that are going to buy your product or your service from your business?
Yeah.
So it doesn't trickle up, does it? It doesn't trickle in from the sides. It trickles from the top. So when you create something that people that have money want, then you have created wealth for yourself. And you also have created a system of wealth for others that are in the place that you are. And you raise up a few knots and you start supplying the need of others. That's how it works. It does not work from any bottom up or middle out. That is the dumbest behind thing I've ever heard in my life. And I don't understand these people that believed it. A lot of these union people, good hardworking people, they're very lovely citizens. They believed this stupidity that was put out by this campaign, and they voted for it.
Okay.
This was asinine.
Okay, Jeff, now are you going to answer my question?
Yes.
Okay. How do you explain the inequality between the CEO and the employee in the bottom who has 200% inequality? How do you explain that?
What you're talking about, income inequality, is what you're saying.
Let me just make it precise, because you don't answer questions also. Just to make it sure, it got wider and wider since Reagan was president of the United States. When Reagan became president, we didn't have the equality.
Oh, my God. You had people pouring into the middle class under Ronald Reagan. You have to go back and look at your thing. I don't care. Listen, I didn't care for Ronald Reagan that much, but you are just absolutely incorrect.
And the employees, please do.
Once again, when you cut taxes on the middle class businesses and upper middle class businesses, they reinvest in their businesses and they expand. That's why you cut the taxes. And every time, with no exceptions, every single time, with no exceptions that they did, more money was brought into the federal coffers. Absolutely. There is not one time that it happened, period, that they didn't bring more money into it.
I'm sorry, you want to bring in economists? I've read some
books in economists. You bring them on, Stanley, because you know what?
Yeah.
I could care less about economists that could be in the pocket of one or the other. Alabama, what you doing, man? You making lots of noise.
Well, I was listening to what he's saying, and it just doesn't make – the whole logic is off, because at the end of the day, if you took every penny that these guys had, you still would only bring in maybe 100. With the tax cuts that he's tax raises that he's proposing, he's only going to raise $150 billion. This guy is coming up $1.3 trillion short. Where's the other $1 trillion coming from, Stanley?
Stanley don't know.
This is the thing with Stanley. Stanley has bought into the fact that he's worrying about the fact of what someone else has. They own this. Look, if I own a business, Stanley, you come work for me, I'm going to pay you what you work for, and that's all I owe you. I don't owe you nothing else. Quit making excuses as to why you feel like you deserve to get somebody else.
Hey, we'll be right back.
The price of inequality is so huge that I don't understand you people. That's why you will never win.
But Stanley, you work on yourself. That's why you change that. You don't change the company.
That's the 99% that went to the street for Wall Street.
Stanley, you're talking like the government. Hold on, Stanley. You're not even thinking. Is the government greedy? So millionaires are greedy, but government isn't greedy. Is that what you're saying? Because I'm sitting right here. I called in talking about a scandal with some guys raping, taking tax dollars. So what are you talking about? Is the government greedy? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so if the government is greedy, why would you trust the government to take more money from somebody else who owns a business who you think it? So everybody across the top, we know the government's greedy. Nobody's checking the government. But we dang sure take, we already taking 35% from business, but you want to take, I guess you want to take 80, 90% of it.
No, I want
to. But the guy that, oh, the problem is the guy that's taking the money stealing too. They greedy too.
Fairness. I'm sorry. If you're going to be blinded and act like there's nothing happening, be blinded. Continue being blinded. Continue seeing. So one day we won't have any middle
class. But Stanley, the problem, no, but Stanley.
That's what
the problem is they already taking money.
And I'll say, look at what we
are. Stanley, you're just going off emotion. You're just emotional, Stanley, because you're liberal. You're not even thinking logically.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
No, Stanley, you're emotional. I'm just, but they already raping these people. They're already taking money. Stanley, the top 10% pay 70% of the tax. What are you talking about? The top 10%. I'm a top 10% earner. What are you talking about?
Go ahead and think that you'll make it that way. Go ahead. But you won't. We're sick of
do what? Do what? What you say? Please say that again. Please say that again.
It's normal for a rich person to be worth $33 billion, and everybody's like, oh, it's normal. Really?
Stanley, you got a problem with somebody being worth money. I don't care about that.
Yes, I do. When you work for somebody else.
Well, Stanley, that's what I'm saying. You're emotional. You're jealous. You're jealous about the fact that those folks got money. You're jealous and you're covering them folks' money. I mean, I can't talk to you.
I just see the inequality between it, and you don't.
But
you don't want
Stanley, you ain't God. You ain't finna come in there and take them folks' money. That's their money.
I'm not about it.
Stanley, that's their money. That's what I'm talking about stupidity. Like, you can't even, you are emphatically ignorant. I'm up here giving you something. You couldn't answer the $1 trillion deficit question. How are you going to take it? The dude proposed $150 billion. What are you going to get the other $1.5 trillion, $1.1 trillion? Where you getting that from? Answer that.
Repeat the question. Go ahead.
He proposed $150 billion in tax raises. That's what the Congressional Budget Office said he was going to get, right? Where is the other 1.16 or whatever trillion going to come from that he's already spending? That they're spending already. Where is that coming from?
Okay.
Because his only answer was to raise taxes. He keeps screaming raise taxes, but out of the same Senate, we have $1 trillion deficit. So what's going on?
I mean, to answer the question, yes or no?
Go ahead.
Like I said many times, if you take the money of all the rich people and put them together, you will never be able to pay the debt. I've told that many times. I know that.
Not the debt. Not the debt. Just with their income this year, you can't take that for that. What's it called?
Rich person there is, you won't be able to pay it. I said that. But I do not believe in the trickle-down mentality that's basically cutting on the rich and giving them more money in their pocket compared to the middle class who's not.
But do you know, let me ask something else. Do you know when he was running against Hillary Clinton, he was sitting there debating Hillary Clinton, and they asked him, they told him, they said, do you know that when they cut capital gains, the government has taken in more revenue? You know what he said? It's not about that. It's about fairness. That guy don't care about what it's about. He's not trying to win. He just want to stick it to people. He said it's not about raising the most money. It's about fairness. That's what he said during the debate. So do you honestly think that he's... Stanley. What you are doing is you are arguing the case.
Okay.
You are arguing the case for this guy to go out here and rape businesses and lose jobs. Just so it can be fair. That's what he's saying.
I'm talking about fairness between the CEO of any company worth $20, $30 billion and an employee working for him not getting even a higher salary.
But then the employee needs to work on the employee to become, there is no difference. There are white people, black people, Asian people running these companies. Most people are from a certain pedigree. They have certain qualifications. They run these businesses. And if you want to be there, Stanley, you can be there if you make your mind up and go and do the things you have to do to be there. But until you get there, you can't be jealous and say that you want to take from him.
So What do you think I'm doing down there? I'm not working for somebody, by the way. I have my own business.
You what?
And everything. Working for somebody because I got sick and tired of working for somebody and seeing all the effort that I was making in the company. And basically every year hearing the CEO or the person of the company say, sorry, Stanley, we can't pay you more, even though we know that you're the one.
Hey, man, give me the cheese. Give me a burger made medium well.
Let me finish, please.
I'm ordering my hamburger. Go ahead, man.
Can I finish, please?
Yeah, no pickle.
So I'm wondering,
no,
responsible for that, for bringing your corporation or your business to what it is, and you're not ready to pay me more? Fine.
But Stanley, all I owe you is a paycheck. You are fair. Once I pay you, you come in there and you work for. This is a problem, Stanley. If I come out and I own a factory and I make cars, right? I pay for everything. I pay billions of dollars, get the company started. You come in there with a high school diploma and I pay you $60,000 a year to push a button and make cars. And you get $60,000 a year. And then I go out there and make $30,000 profit per car you make. That's my business. That's my money. I took the risk. If you want to be there, Stanley, you need to do what you did. Go out there and get their own business. And you know what, Stanley? One day, hold on. You know what? Stanley, you know what you're telling me? You know what you're telling me, Stanley? That you don't expect to succeed, but to a certain level.
I have no problem with what you said. The problem I have is if I come back to you as a business owner and I'm responsible for making your business a little bit bigger, which a lot of employees are, and you didn't make your $33 or $40 billion alone, you never did, and you took maybe the chance of creating...
Wait a minute, Stanley. Let's stop it with that. Because guess what, Stanley? I could fire every employee I got and I have a line around the corner because there's plenty of people out there that want to work. Right now.
Shut the business down.
And if the employees can do what they need to do.
Without employees, that is the reason that you will always lose an election. Just what you just said. You're greedy and you don't care about the employees. You don't care about
them. Stanley, it ain't your place to tell you what's in my heart just because I'm making money and keeping it. That's my business, dude.
That's why we will lose.
Who are you to play moral judge and come in and tell somebody who's greedy and who's not? Like poor people ain't greedy. Like poor people in the hood that's stealing and robbing ain't greedy, but the wealthy are. You got your life all messed up.
Shame on you. Politicians ain't
greedy. The politicians ain't greedy, but the guy that's the CEO is greedy. Man, get up out of here.
It happened. You saw what happened? We almost lost our country because of greed. We almost lost it because of greed. That's what happened when you...
Wait. Oh. See, now you don't even understand how those doggone loans were created in the first place. Who was screaming? People, liberals like you, were screaming that we need to have more houses for the poor. People with 550 credit score. So they passed this housing act. You get all these loans that were bad, non-performing loans. And then all of a sudden, derivatives... Hold on, let me make a point. Derivatives would have worked. Had people made their payments, they would have actually worked. People weren't making their payments because they shouldn't have had loans in the first place.
Are you going to answer
the
question?
Because people like you trying to come in and make stuff fair.
Answer the question.
And not understanding certain things that govern it. Yeah, that's the thing, man.
Okay, are you going to answer the question or are you going to keep on talking? What was the bank doing it for? What?
They
what
have the to bank? Be willing what? To share their
what?
Worth for your idea. For you to have people tell you that they're going to build from the bottom up and the middle out is just plain stupid.
Well, Jeff,
you cannot build from the middle out or the bottom up unless you have some substance to use to build with. So now, the rich, 10% of the rich pay 70% of the taxes. 20% pay doggone near 95% of all the taxes that are paid. What is their fair share? Or don't you believe my report?
I don't believe your report, Jeff. I don't.
You don't believe my report. Well, why don't you go to the... Stanley, wait a minute. I want you to, while we're talking here, I want you to go to the government website and find out what percentage of people pay what percentage of tax. That will eliminate you not believing my report.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about corporate.
It doesn't matter about corporate.
No.
I'm asking. It doesn't matter about corporate. If you want to make a new if you want to make a new rule for corporations, then let's make a new rule for corporations. But we're not talking about just that. We're talking about federal taxes being paid. Okay? Now, I want you to go to that little graph and find out how much money that the rich people pay, the top 2 and 5 and 10%. And you tell me how much they're paying in tax, percentage-wise, that's what it's going to be in.
Ask
and then you tell
the
me they're not paying their
is.
Fair share.
What's the top corporate rate, Stanley?
Okay. Jeff, if you're going to come with this, tell the truth of how the rich do what they do.
Help the rich. Hey, what's the top corporate rate, Stanley? Stanley, what's the top corporate rate?
Okay, Jeff, is it not true that a lot
Stanley
of...
Stanley don't even know. He's just talking, man. He don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about because I have a... I have a brother who's good in those things. Hello.
What's the top corporate rate, Stanley?
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you the question. Is it not true that some people, when they make money, do not pay all those taxes? What do? They go get incorporated, right? They do corporation because when you get a corporation, you pay a lot less tax than if you have income money. What you're talking about is basically when you're an employee, you're getting that tax. Government, but when you're a business owner, which a lot of rich people are, you don't get the same tax as a business owner as an employee.
No, but you get, but Stanley, but what you do get
okay,
is
so, yes,
Stanley. I've been a corporation since 1995, maybe just before that, maybe 94, the year my mother passed. Okay, I know exactly what I pay. And have to pay. And you are incorrect.
No.
But exactly. You go ahead and follow your you know, your reasoning out.
Let's follow what you're saying. There's four kind of people in this world. There's employees, self-employed, business owners, and investors. Right? There's four kind of people in this world. Employees are the
four. Well, Stanley, you got something called itemization. Even employees can itemize. They can do certain things.
Yes.
There are certain tax loopholes. You got income tax credit. You got mortgage credit. That's why 80% of these people ain't really paying taxes in this country because of that. So go ahead.
Can employees?
You're only talking about the people that's making 80,000, 90,000. Those are the people that are evil and selfish. Everybody that's making 35,000 are good people. They ain't selfish.
How much do you get taxed? You're saying employees get 80,000, 90,000. I agree with you. How much do they get taxed? They get taxed. They don't get no cover. They don't get no cover like the business owner. They do. Let's be real. That's not true.
Well, first of all, no. You're right. But what I'm telling you is, you have a mortgage. If you own a house, you can write off a lot of stuff as an employee, on your tax credit for getting taxes. I know people making with six figure salaries getting refunds.
Okay.
It's possible. What are you talking about?
How much do they pay every time they get their paycheck? Do they get the $80,000? Do they get, like you say, $1,600 a week? Do they get that as a paycheck? No, they don't.
Well, Stanley, I'm all for not even taking taxes out of people's checks, Stanley. But let me go back to the corporate tax rate. The corporate tax rate, the last I checked, was 35%. Now, that's actually over a third of anybody that owns a business. The government gets a third, which is pretty much like a partner. That's a partner, Stanley. If I come out there right now and say, Stanley, you got to give me a third, you're going to be like, you ain't putting no money in this way. That's what the government does for every corporation making over, I think, what is it, $10 million or something like that. They take all of that. So I'm struggling to see how those people that own these corporations are greedy. But the people out there voting to jack and steal from taxes out of government, put people in jail if they don't give more to the government so they can give it to them. They're not selfish though. It's just your logic is you gotta use the same logic that you're saying those people are greedy. That same logic gotta go to everybody, not just the wealthy people. Politicians that's stealing, that's siphoning out this money, they greedy just like everybody else.
Alabama, here's the thing that's so crazy about this whole thing is this. You know, he's telling you about the corporate rate, But he doesn't realize what the corporations have to pay in taxes, other types of operational taxes. And they're not counting those taxes. Those things go to the government too. They're permits to do business. All the stuff that they got to put in to keep you up behind in a job. Okay, they're keeping you in a job by doing all these things that they want you to jump over hoops and leap over fences for, and then they want to still. If you take any money, you're taxed at 35-42%. You're taxed at a high rate just like that. You have to understand something. That's why if you ever watch Bill O'Reilly has a whole lot of stuff that he does, and he gives the money away. You know why he gives the money away? So he can keep some of his own money.
Well, Barack about to stop that, though. They're talking about stopping that now. They're going to make it where you give it to the government.
Well, exactly. That's what they're doing. That's what he's doing is centralizing power. That's why anybody that was thinking didn't want this man back in there. He's centralizing power to the United States government, and it's killing us.
Well, Jeff, I disagree with you. Because
I know you can disagree all day.
Stanley, in a couple of years, in 2014, when this stuff kick in, I want to look in your face. Well, all these jobs start switching over.
First of all, 2014, we will see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen, first of all.
We do know what's going to happen unless the Supreme Court steps in.
The bill is open-ended. They passed the bill saying they can add and change it any way they want to. You don't even know what the bill says.
Yeah, this is Steve.
I knew it was you, Steve. I heard your background noise. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, anyway, in other words, Jeff, you and the guy from Alabama and South Carolina, you know, I really can't understand you. I'm back in Stanley, and I wish my girl Diva was on here.
Well, I'm glad she's not, but go ahead.
Well, I wish she was, because she's well-informed.
She's not well-informed at all. She is very uninformed, and she likes to run her mouth for no reason. But go ahead.
Well, Jeff, I have to back my boy Stanley.
Okay.
In other words, you think it's okay for the disparity in wealth. In other words, here you have people who are continually getting richer and richer, and those who are struggling just to make ends meet.
Oh, man.
Do you know why that is, Stanley? Why are the why is the disparity growing?
Because the unbribery of so-called capitalism.
No, sir, that is not
greed.
Reason why. Do you know why?
That's
no, that is not the reason why. Okay, no, it, no, that's what you, Stanley. Steve, that's what you've been told. This is why you have a great disparity. Can I finish? Yes, there should be, and this is why you have one. You have less people trying to make it. You have more people trying. Can I finish?
That's not true.
I'm getting ready to mute all of y'all in 1 second. Okay, you have less people trying to make a living, and they're going after getting government assistance checks. That's why you have 1.8 or 2.2 million new people on welfare since the Obama administration 4 years ago. You have these people on the system. They are not out there trying to make their way. They're not trying to start businesses and create the American dream. Whether they fail or be successful or just eke out a living. They're not doing it anymore because the government is making it so doggone hard for you to do it, it's not worth your while. That is why you have a disparity, because the rich have their money. And guess what they're going to do if you try to take their money? They're going to do this like Papa John's Pizza did. You see what Papa John's did last week?
Yeah, I seen what they
did. What did they do?
Well, you have to explain. I think they took their money out and they...
No, they didn't take their money out of nothing. They raised the prices on their pizzas to compensate for what the government was going to cost them for health care and for if in case the Bush tax cuts would roll back. They raised the prices. Who does that hurt, Steve?
It hurts.
Do you eat Papa John's pizza?
No, I don't.
Okay, do you know anybody that does?
No, I don't.
Well, I do. And guess what? You're going to be paying more for it, idiots. That's the whole thing. The whole thing is you're going to pay. They're not going to pay a dime. You can't be stupid. They don't have to. McDonald's will raise its prices. And you'll be driving around here putting a dollar worth in your gas in your tank, then trying to go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. Do you understand? It comes back to you. He can say, we're not going to raise any taxes on the middle class. No, we're going to leave the middle class alone. And guess what? Guess what? It ain't working. It's coming back to you. You're going to have less spendable income. The rich are going to get richer because they've invested in this money, and you have fooled and played yourself.
Wow.
Afternoon
well,
with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after these messages.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More.
And that's the reason that you won't win again, Jeff. I can't believe America is getting to that point. Greed.
No, you guys are winning, dude. Y'all winning. Y'all don't get what you want. You got the guy in there. He
well,
wants free healthcare.
You don't want to see the problem.
You're going to stick it to the rich. Everything
problem.
You want, you're going to get.
Go ahead. You see that
you're going to get everything you're asking for, Stanley. You get everything you're asking for. This guy's in there. They just, what's the lady that was in his cabinet? She's like, we're going to go around Congress this time. We ain't going to play like we did last time. He's gonna skip the Constitution. You got the type of guy in there that's going to stick it to the man, just like you want. But the problem is, just like he said, the people out there that's struggling, that's trying to put gas in their car, that while we're trying to do this green energy experiment, while folks out here unemployed, high unemployment, black folks struggling, you're going to make all the illegals. It just don't, the math don't add up. You're going to give illegals amnesty, but then black folks out here calling you Lord and Savior. I'm like, well, shoot, they don't have to compete against the same people he's going to make American citizens. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, but let's go to the facts and everything. Do you think it's fair that the 1% of the people get 57% of the, basically, of the economy, of the money of people? 1% of the, if you take 1% of the population of America.
But Stanley,
wait,
if I get to that level, you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Go ahead and make your point.
Okay. It used to be not like that, and it's getting bigger and bigger. Eventually, it's going to come to 60, 70, 80, 90%. And at what point are you, as an American, going to say, wait a minute, we have a problem? You want the rich to have 100% and the rest of the middle class and the lower class have 3% of the money? What point are you going to come as an American and say, you know what, this is inequality? What point?
But Stanley, going out, it's just like with the healthcare thing. There were, 20 million people uninsured. Now with this thing, they're talking about the people that's about to get kicked off their jobs. It's going to be almost 45% of the American workforce on government. They're going to kick off of public insurance. It's going to be almost half people working that's going to be on the government. Why did you have to do that? Why they could have took $100 billion and bought insurance for everybody that was uninsured. Because it's about running your life. It's about power. They don't want to do that. They want to have everybody. They want to know if you got a cavity. They want to know. That's the thing, man. I'm talking about freedom. I'm not talking about, and you worrying about, well, what if they can't make it? What if they fail? What if the fear of failure, people have given their lives over to somebody who you just admitted out your own mouth is selfish and greedy, just like the politics, just like the evil people you're talking about.
If both of them are evil, Stanley, why are you going to trust the government to try to go and fix it? So what's your solution? What is your solution to what I just said? It's getting bigger.
Good question. I'm going to get down.
It's going to be 60, 70,
Stanley, you asked me a question. I'm going to answer it. Can I ask a question? Basically, this is the thing right here. If you go and look financially, and Michigan ain't on the phone, but owning businesses and getting to a certain point, Dr. Claude Anderson, who I don't agree with everything the guy says, but at the same time, I do think that owning business, if you look at the pecking order of who has the most wealth as a people and match it to who owns the most, who owns businesses, it's exactly the same. Why is that? Because just like you're talking about those wealthy people, millionaires and billionaires, those people that got all that money, they got there because if you trace their family history, somebody in their family or them themselves started somewhere. And then I'm not just saying start a business just for business sake, but I'm saying eventually, statistically, let's say 90% of them fail, 99% of them. That 1% that succeeds is going to be able to provide jobs for people. And that's what you see with those people that have that 57%. A lot of those people, if you go back, they haven't always had it. And some of them got it. Some of those people got it by being low down and dirty. I'll admit that. But there are a lot of people that are successful, like the Walton family, just because they had a successful business model. And I think that's what we have to embrace as a people. If we don't, we're going to get left behind. And we have been left behind. That's why China is chomping at our heels right now, because we haven't. We are demonizing capitalism itself. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Okay. You know why we're capitalizing? Okay, let me give you a perfect example. The person that started IBM, just to tell you the difference, okay? When he started the thing, if IBM and got fired over a job and you said, you know what? I'm going to create a business that's going to buy your own company. He created IBM. The person that created IBM, you know what he did when he created IBM and he became a big company? He thought for himself as an owner. He said, you know what? I created this business, but I'm going to treat my employee like gold. Because if I do treat my employees like gold, they will bring the client and the client will come like gold. That was the philosophy before in IBM. It was so hard to go in IBM. So many people in IT wanted to go to IBM because they knew that as soon as you go to IBM, you will be treated like gold if you do the work and you will get your chance to get a higher salary and everything. That changed. Because the owner decided to sell it to somebody else who decided to be like you, greedy. So what do IBM do? They don't care about employees. Do you know what they do?
Wait. What did I say that was greedy? If I say I'm gonna pay you for your wages, for your work.
No. Like a lot of people, the philosophy of getting greedy. Not you. I'm sorry. The philosophy.
No. You can't just accuse me of being greedy, and I'm telling you I'm gonna pay you for your work.
I'm not accusing you of being greedy. Sorry about that.
No. Okay, fine. Okay, I ain't mad. I'm just asking you, what did I say?
You didn't say anything
about that impression.
Okay.
I just said I'm gonna pay you for your work, Stanley. I'm not gonna go home and do your kids' homework as part of the company. I'm not gonna go and fix your credit because it's part of. I'm gonna pay you for coming to work, and that's all you are owed. That's what's wrong with it. You know what? You listen to Steve. And I'm sure Steve talks about being a self-responsibility, all this different stuff. I'm like, but you don't want – it's like politically you don't even believe in self-responsibility. You think it's the government or some business owner's job to take care of people. It's not their own responsibility to do the things. You want people to come in and do stuff for them. That's what it sounds like.
That's not what I'm saying. Okay, so let me finish this thing. IBM decided to change the mentality, to forget about the employee, and go with the shareholder to make more money, to become more greedy. So what they decided to do, they decided to hire an employee for 2 years and basically get contracts, the less contract that you have, and make them work for 2 years and cut them off whenever they don't.
I do IT, and I went on an interview. I didn't get it, but I went on an interview. Man, they paying $50, $60, $70, $80 an hour at IBM to work. They come in there and give me that kind of money, bump it. They don't have to do nothing but just give me my check on Friday. I don't care. They let me work there 2 years, budget your money, live off less than you make, and that's how you get out of it. You ain't got to worry about it. But if you come in there and you buying a $400,000 house expecting to be there 20 years, I'm sorry. That's just not the way this society works. You can't expect to come in there.
We're going to try this again. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're back with the big show. How you all doing out there? Yep. Well, how many of you people like your changes to your Obamacare there? I see. Yeah, I don't like them either, and they are costing me a bundle, and I don't have the bundle to cost, and I don't like that. So I'm taking donations for my health care system. If you want to call me, give me a call here, 330-781-9600. Or on my unlimited internet lines at 1-347-945-5229, and I will talk about it. I'm also looking at something else that's happening. Here it is. We had over the weekend Black Friday or Black Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, whatever it was, and you had people from Walmart that were not part of a union going on strike against Walmart. I'm holding my head on this one, too. I don't understand. Somebody explain to me why these people should not be fired.
Wow.
Why shouldn't they be fired? I think that they should have been fired the next time that they reported in for work. I think that they should have just been given their slip and said, go on down to the unemployment office, because guess what? All of their people, every last one of them, well, not every last one of them, but the majority of people that work for those stores voted the union down. And the union is still trying to force the company's hand. Now, I think that they think they can do it because they have a union-friendly president. So I'm wondering, how many people think that the Walmart workers that went on strike should be fired? I raised my hand in that thing. Fired. 330-261, you are on the air.
Jeffrey!
Yes, sir. What's going on, big dog?
I finally agree with you on something.
Finally, man. What did we agree on this time?
If they hire you to work and you don't work, then you get fired.
I agree.
Now, this is the one that got me. The ones that lost their job because they refused to take a flu shot. Now, that's something.
No, that shouldn't be.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a case, but you know what? Obamacare, who's making all that noise in the back? Alabama, is that you or Stanley?
No, that ain't me.
Okay, Stanley, cut the noise down, dog. The situation is this. You ain't going to make me get no shot.
Amen.
Because I don't take flu shots. You know, I'm not saying that they don't work. But the last time I took a flu shot, I got so sick that I wish I'd had the flu on.
A lot of those shots they give people, they put stuff in those shots. The government does. I have no trust. That's what kind of led me to be concerned. I do not trust the government. I mean, just if you look at the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, you look at all this, the government is not to be trusted.
No.
And they do not like certain segments of populations of people. I mean, so I wouldn't put it past them to put government chips to trace us in these vaccinations, to put in our kids, to have them being traced by the government, and they got it on some secret database. I don't put it past them. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't trust them with my money. I don't trust them with nothing. The less they touch us in our lives, the better.
Yeah, I lost my call. I wish he'd call me back because he was getting interesting. But, Stanley, you're still in there, too. So, I mean, you can speak up. And 831, if you want to talk, you hit the 1, and we'll get you on the air.
So let me go back to what he said. He doesn't trust the government, so you shouldn't trust the corporation. You shouldn't trust anybody. Let's go with your opinion.
Well, no.
Anybody, everybody's crooked, everybody's wrong. The government,
hold on. Corporations are people, though.
Government. You think government is
the government
people?
Does not have to make a profit. I'm going to be fair then. I don't trust nobody with my money. I don't care who it is.
Okay.
I don't want them taking no – look, if I work – if I come to your job and I work 9 to 5 and you're telling me you're going to pay me $30 an hour, I want my check to say for 40 hours, I want a $1,200 check. I don't want no Social Security taken out. I don't want nothing taken out. That's how I feel about it. You need to pay me what I'm worth and what I told you, and that's what we agreed upon. And if you don't, that's – the government should be there to twist their arm and make them pay me what they told me they're going to pay me. After that, they don't owe me nothing. That's me. I'm gonna take care of myself. See, you want somebody to come in and twist their arm and make them pay for your child's daycare, pay for this, pay for that, because you're poor and you're too weak. Man, I ain't talking about you, but a lot of people think people are too stupid and too weak to do stuff. off on their own, and we got to have the government come in and do it, because that's racist to me, to be quite honest with you.
South Carolina, you are on the air.
I'm liking what I'm hearing. He's talking, hey, you must have been listening to me yesterday.
Yeah. We all agree. You know what? Here's the thing. We either have a disease or we're correct. It gets me that the people that argue against our thought never have the actual facts, the numbers that prove their point. You know, people talk noise. They was talking about Ronald Reagan. You saw the disparity of the thing. Man, people poured into the middle class under Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan gave them a chance at the American dream. Now, I didn't care for Ronald Reagan so much, especially didn't care for Nancy, because I thought that she was a witch, and I thought that she was very prejudiced, because they asked her, you know, what do you feel about the African-American vote? Because Reagan had got so much of it, and she made the statement about, well, you know, I guess I'll just have to deal with them then. And so that, to me, you know, that's enough. I can reject you on that. I don't care for you because of that situation there. So,
Stanley, let me ask you something. This is something that interests me. I mean, I'm sorry, not Stanley, I mean Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that interests me, you can be racist. But if me and you are on the same thing and we're competing, right? And you make a rule that says that it's okay to go to the hole in a basketball game and use your elbows, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same way you can throw an elbow, I can throw an elbow. The same rules that apply, be it capital gains, be it lower tax rates, be it whatever. I have done business at a certain point, and I used the fact that we only had to pay 15% to my advantage instead of 35%. Trying to take it, you know, that's what I'm saying. So it benefits everyone. If you're in a poor situation and you want a way out of your circumstance, lower tax rates, lower things benefit you as well as they benefit the other person. You just have to learn and study the rules of the game to where you can play that game the same way. A lot of times people get corporations just to take advantage of the tax cut. They don't even want to make a dime. They want to take the loss. They want to do just to take advantage of the tax cut. That's being smart and understanding how it works. That's, you just got to play the game.
330-831, you are
on
it.
On us anyway.
330-831, you were going to be next, and you are not there now. So call me back, and I'll get you rattled. Yeah, go ahead, Sal.
Somebody sent me something on Facebook yesterday, and it said, you know, if the rich have to pay their fair share at 39% at 39% above $250,000, then what is the fair share of a person that's making $24,000 or $25,000?
Yeah, you have to answer that one for me, because I don't know.
Zero. Because if you got $25,000 and you got two or three dependents, guess what? You're taking advantage of a loophole as well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're taking advantage of a loophole as well. So therefore, if I got to pay more, guess what? You got to pay more too.
I hear you.
Let's just be fair across the board with it.
He's letting the tax rates go up for everybody. Like, no, we're not really understanding. Everybody finna pay higher taxes. They're not talking about that.
With you 100%.
That's understood.
Hey, I'm thinking like this. This is the way I'm thinking. Maybe Jeff and I'm not sure who's on the line with us. But I think he's going to go and say, okay, the rich have paid their fair share. Now it's time for the rest of us to do so. I can see it. I can, in my mind, I can see it happening.
That's not what he's
and
saying.
And then it'll be too late.
Well, the Republicans are about to cave. The Republicans are about to give him his tax raise. So we're finna see. It's finna be fun these next couple of years.
Well, it's going to be
interesting.
It's going to
be a lot of I told you so. It's going to be a lot of I told you. Eat it. I don't care. And then buy your good for you. You voted for it. Take it. That's how I feel.
Let me clearly say one thing, though, and this is something they warned about, and I saw it coming, because it was the only thing that kept Obama from having a unemployment rate of 11%. And that is the oil drilling that we're doing right now. The oil drilling that we're doing as a result of the permits that the Bush administration cleared are what's keeping this economy afloat, because you have segments of the society that are doing it. Right here in our area, we have a brand spanking new steel mill that just started putting out pipe for the oil and gas drilling industry. Okay, so you have different parts and sectors of this society that are going to be doing well. Don't let that fool you, because all they're going to do is continue to centralize power into D.C. D.C. is going to be very powerful, and the people will have no power. Healthcare was a caveat, and if I had listened to the process of how the justice that went along with this, if I had listened to what he had said, I would have understood that he was a progressive, and I didn't know that, and so I miscalculated what he was going to do, because I thought for sure healthcare was going to go down. I thought it was going to go down, but these people have been able to make this move. Now, I'm telling you, you do not want the government in charge of everything that they're in charge of right now.
But, Jeff, don't you think that, I mean, if we could have took $100 billion and bought everybody that was uninsured health care, but no, they decide to take over everybody, like over 70% of the people are going to wind up getting on this health care. That was the goal. He said, I want a single-payer system. That's what he said.
Well,
in 20 years, everybody in the United States is not – nobody's going to have insurance. They're going to dismantle the insurance. That's what they want. I mean, that's what they did. I mean, but they did it so – and they nuanced it so smooth to where if you say something against it, you're racist and you hate the poor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You want the rich to get over. You want the rich to be – you're for the rich, and you don't care about black people if you against this bill. That's what he did. He was the perfect candidate because – he has the shield to put up of racism. Like this, like Suzanne, Ms. Rice, she should be stepping down. But this lady's finna be, they talking about Secretary of State. Like this lady went out and lied. This is what I'm talking about. They went and they crucified Colin Powell for holding up that thing of Rice UN that time. But
absolutely.
Now, this lady's finna be, and she's a woman, she's black, there's nothing she can't do no wrong. You can't say nothing to her. With this country,
look at her background. Look at who her parents were. Look at what he is doing. He has put every Marxist, socialist, almost communist person in place in his cabinet. Understand that that's who he is, not just something he believes or thinks is a good idea. This is who he is. And you better wake up and get a grip.
But when you say Marxist, that word does not register. People don't understand what that really means.
Okay, how about this?
You need to show up pictures of people in these gulags getting killed and all these folks.
When you disagree with
the
government, and we'll be right back after these messages. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
Wow. So Obama is the worst thing since blood with everything, I'm hearing. Wow.
So what you say, Stanley? What you say?
He's the worst thing since sliced bread, the way I'm hearing him. He's a Marxist.
No, but Stanley, his mentor.
Wow.
No, his mentor is a commune car carrying. These ain't lies. This is who he said he, right? This is his people. Van Jones had to step down for some of the stuff. This is who these people are, dude. Like, it ain't hard to, you ain't really reaching. When you don't just slip up, I will never slip in. I think it's better when you redistribute the wealth. Straight out the Communist Manifesto, man, please. Yeah, that's who he is. That's easy. That's easy.
Hey,
Stanley, you're a liberal. You don't quote the Communist Manifesto that good. That's who you are. This guy wouldn't be where he is if he didn't believe that stuff. I'm telling you that's what he is.
Stanley, you don't believe he's a Marxist?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying.
I just believe that he came to a point, he said there's something wrong with our country, and he decided to do what he believed, and a lot of people voted for him because they believe the direction that he's doing. And I'm sorry, a lot of conservatives want to go the old way. Like, we listened to you guys when you were Reaganist or bushwalking for people.
Well,
Stanley, he's doing the opposite of Clinton. He's not even doing what Clinton did, dude.
He's not even doing what Clinton did.
Clinton did the opposite.
Stanley, tell me what was so wrong with what Reagan did. I'm talking about Reagan's economic policies.
At that time, the people...
The what now?
Basically was responsible for creating Bin Laden. Remember that?
No, I'm talking about economic policy. I'm talking about economic policy because if you want to go with foreign policy, we can go ahead and talk about a lot of stuff that Obama's doing under the table that's wrecking Americans' foreign policy. But I'm talking about
Bill Clinton let Bin Laden go. I mean, Bill, we were getting hit USS Cole, the first attack. We got our Kenyan embassy. We had a couple of embassies bombed. This dude let him go in 98. Yeah. So don't hand me that about the Bin Laden because he let him go. So
what I want to know is what was so wrong with Reagan's economic policy? Tell me what was wrong with it.
The problem with the Reagan economic policy, if you study it from the 1980 to 1999, the rich, let's say a rich person was worth $100,000. In 1999, he was worth $190,000. The middle class, which was maybe at $25,000, if you study it for 10 years, would get not even $26,000. That was a problem. And that's been studied. Studied by a lot of economists that studied 10 years to see what happened. And that's what happened. And nobody.
The middle class grew.
Talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about it, but that's a fact. You could do the research. I could send you the link. I have no problem doing that. But
I'll tell you what. Just put the link. Put the link on Tracy's Facebook page.
I will.
Do that.
Yes, please.
Do that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we all know when they cut taxes, the tax revenues went up. I mean, we all know that. So I'm just struggling to see how that even makes sense. But, I mean, just on a macro, micro level, it does make sense. You don't get jobs from poor people. So I'm struggling with that one.
The job from poor people is the salary get better for middle class or lower class compared to the rich? Yes or no? That's why
Let me ask you a question, Stanley. Which president implemented the earned income tax credit? Who signed it into law?
Repeat what you said. I didn't hear your question.
Which president signed into law, into the tax code, the earned income tax credit?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Okay.
And he didn't like it. And his policy hurt poor people? No. I remember filing my taxes. I remember filing my taxes in 1989. And sending them in, and I got a letter back that the IRS had done an adjustment to my income taxes and sent me more money back because I didn't know anything about the earned income tax credit. So they sent me more money. And this was under Reagan. But Ronald Reagan was a bad guy. The rich got richer under Reagan, and the poor got poorer, right? Not quite.
Well, did the salary? Are you telling me that the example that I'm telling you for 10 years that the salary?
But Stanley, the black wealth reached its apex.
As the healthcare law is going to affect you personally, we're sitting here with Healthmageddon getting ready to happen, and nobody's aware of it. We're sitting up with this Susan Rice, still telling the people that the riots in Benghazi were a matter of this out-of-control protest, that they attacked the embassy with mortars and RPGs and all these other things. We watched them burn that place. We watched them pull the ambassador out and kill him. We haven't had an ambassador killed since 1978 or 9 up under Jimmy Carter. I want you to realize that. Jimmy Carter was a terrible Democrat president as well, very inept at foreign affairs. And history has certainly repeated itself. And it does not matter whether Susan Rice got us into or did not get us into a war. You're in a war when they kill your ambassador. And if you don't think you are, then you're the idiot.
Can you say Archduke?
You're in a war,
man.
And the enemy is becoming more and more emboldened to where they launched and started launching. As soon as the president got elected, they start launching rockets into Israel, our only ally in the Middle East, true ally.
Because they know he's weak.
Didn't nobody blame Susan Rice for what happened? We're saying Susan Rice knew that she was not telling the truth, as she told that truth for a whole 2 weeks.
But Petraeus said the day one, he said day one we knew it was a terrorist attack.
The president knew that it wasn't the truth, but he told that lie for 3 weeks. But he's a liar. He's not the liar. Romney's the liar for saying something about it. Like I said, I wasn't a huge Romney fan, but I still thought he was better than what we had.
But
that's my opinion,
because
I don't know what he would have done or not know what he would do.
Romney
is not Bush. He is not Bush 1. He is not Reagan. So therefore, he would rule like Romney. This is
the
foolishness that we have in our political system.
So, but
if you want to talk to me, hit that 1-330-781-9600.
Jeff?
Stanley, you haven't said anything in a while.
Jeff?
Yeah.
I'm hearing you that you're saying Carter was worse, but let's talk about Reagan and his foreign policy. He wasn't good also.
Reagan was excellent in foreign policy.
No, he wasn't. Let me go through the thing that he wasn't good. Reagan basically was responsible for creating Bin Laden, yes or no?
Who?
Reagan.
No.
Yes.
Bin Laden was around long time. No. If anybody created Bin Laden, it was Jimmy Carter.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why and when. Don't you remember the Shah of Iran? And don't you remember when the Ayatollah came to power? Huh?
That's not true, Ray. You're discouraging
the fact that... No. Stanley, when we left Beirut and Bin Laden said that we were a paper tiger, the Democrats were the ones that were against going in there and kicking butt, and Reagan listened to the Democrats and didn't go in there and kick butt. And
they
called us a paper tiger. That's why. That's why right there, because the pacifists... Democrats who think all we got to do is go hold hands and people and pray and sing Kumbaya and they'll be okay is why we dealt with Bin Laden.
So
get that straight.
Alabama, that's why our ambassador is dead right now.
Rick, I'm not talking.
They see us as a paper tiger. He said that.
When
they brought and killed those Marines.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys, that was probably the worst 6 months I ever had in the Marine Corps. There were so many of us that wanted to just go over there and do what Marines do, but they wouldn't let us do it.
And not only that, those guys were unarmed on that ship. They didn't even have small arms to use, and they watched the boat come and run into the side of that ship and blow them boys the kingdom come.
But that's what he's saying. When he's saying create, he's saying because he was in the White House, he was created. But I don't think he understands the circumstance. That's why when Bin Laden wrote that first letter after he bombed 9/11, he said, I saw you guys with paper tiger when we bombed the Marines barracks in Beirut, and you guys didn't do nothing. We saw y'all were scared. That's the problem. He said, you're scared, we're not. That's why we're going to win. That is what created it. But who wants to bag back and let them guys concede and let them have everything they asked for? The Democrat. So you can't have it one day you wanted. So let's say Reagan would have lost and Carter would have stayed in. We really would have been messed up. They let those guys go the day Reagan got in there. They let those people go. Why
sure
that?
Did. Hey,
why
I
did
got,
they do that?
I got an unlisted caller. You are on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Is this Comedy Central?
It might be, Mr. Solutions.
Yeah, I was just trying to find out, because you have people who can solve the complexities of the universe and the world and can't pay their damn rent. I'm just wondering if this is Comedy Central.
Would you be talking about me?
just hate to see a whole lot of wasted energy on nothing. I mean, who gives a crap? Who cares
about
anything that's being spoken of? This is the biggest comedy routine I've ever heard. You can't affect a damn thing. You talk about, I did hear someone say something about health Armageddon or something of that nature.
What?
Are you, well, with the Obama, Obamacare passing, the health care.
I said you're getting ready to have health Armageddon happen, yeah.
Health Armageddon. But, you know, and humor me, if you will.
Yeah.
What the hell does it matter what you guys figure out vis-a-vis the state of affairs in the world, political foreign affairs, as it were, and you have no neighborhoods, you have no groceries.
Here's the thing. I agree with you, but I have a neighborhood. But here's the bottom line. The ones that don't have a neighborhood and they don't have the pot or the window, they're not looking to make their pot or window for themselves. They're looking for Uncle. Wait a minute. I'm not done, dog. They're looking for the government to give them a pot and a window to throw it out of. And so
which
I'm telling
what?
You that this is, which means that you are now on a collision course with destroying the economy of the United States because half the people do not want to be productive. They just want to live and have a check. They're
Jeff,
not looking to work.
Do this from now on, if you don't mind. Find out the people whose bills are current, the ones that have 1 year savings, which is what financial planners tell us we should do. People who've had an elimination in the last 12 hours. If they meet those three criteria, then possibly something they say has merit. Otherwise,
well, I hear your solution, but I'm definitely not going to agree with you. And because the Bible says that though he have wisdom, the world won't listen to the poor man. It doesn't mean
I'm going to hang out in the queue and laugh my butt off.
Okay,
but you guys go right ahead.
Well, hang out, and your line is open. So we're going to still talk about the craziness that's going on because I'm telling you, my deductions and my cost went up exponentially. That they were supposed to. We're going to bring the cost of healthcare down. We're going to make sure that it's an affordable care and everybody gets their fair share of affordable care. And guess what? They're ticking me off today, Mr. Solutions. Because
I do have a second thought. Why don't you guys get some investors in that will talk about how you can invest the couple of nickels you have and make some money off of the boondoggle?
Coming. That's coming. We have that. We actually are talking about production, and those things are coming. But the thing
I'm looking at the stock market right now. I enjoy doing that on a daily basis, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And why don't you guys get a method? Have Dr. Anderson on. Invite him on.
Play his tapes.
I would rather hear Dr. Anderson talking about real issues.
I love Claude Anderson, and I like a lot of things he's saying. But
yeah, I've never heard him on your show though.
Not when we've been on this station. No, you haven't. But he's been a guest of ours several times.
Why not?
There's a good reason. First of all, we don't necessarily agree with all that he's saying, and I'm not the decision maker. Because I like to bring in all points of view, and sometimes it's not expedient to do that. And so,
look here. I like what you said about the poor man, and see, you got a lot of broke people, broke butt people. I know you can't say the A word, even.
No,
though
thank you.
It's a jack A. But look, I would like to see these same deadwood people. Get a few nickels to rub together in their dusty pockets instead of mouthing off about, nothing. I work with different groups, different ethnic groups.
Hey, we'll be back.
Keep going. I'm listening.
Yeah, thank you. I work with different ethnic groups, and they laugh at you guys because it's like who cares about what your broke behind thinks. Who cares? I mean, if you guys just want to get up and, you know, what you call mental masturbation.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? What makes you think we're broke? Because are we up here espousing our financial situation? Because you talk like you got millions. So I'm just saying,
no one has to have millions. Do you meet that three-tier criteria? Do you have all
the I don't talk about it because, for one, if I come in and make a situation, if I talk about something and talk like that, I'll come off as condescending and arrogant. So a lot of times I don't come and talk about it. I had a guy a couple of weeks ago say something about my situation. I don't brag about what I have. But I'm doing okay for myself.
You meet those three criteria. I'm asking
you
now.
Yes, I do.
You do? All right. Do you care if other people do? If they're giving you advice and they don't meet those criteria,
Why is it okay for you to call and pontificate and make your point, but anybody else that does it is stupid? See, that sounds arrogant.
Wait a minute.
I don't call people
and
insult them.
What point are you making?
No. That's what I'm saying. You're saying that all of us should shut up and just not call because we don't have no solution. I've always, and I've espoused, I just a few minutes ago was talking to a guy, and I said, like Dr. Claude Anderson was saying, we should own our own stuff, which is what you're talking about. But you come across as insulting.
Would that make a difference in your conversation if you did?
I do that all the time. You probably don't know me. I mean, you can ask these other guys if I say that. I say that all the time.
That's not the only thing I have to say.
But I understand. But sometimes people call and just talk. That's what people. This is talk radio. People talk. I'm not gonna get upset and insult people. You can have a guy that works in a factory. I understand. You can have a guy that works in a factory and doesn't have a dime to his name call up and make a point. I'll listen if it has merit. It has merit. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm not going to insult him because of his financial situation and make him feel as though, well, you ain't on my level, so you can't tell me nothing. That doesn't work in life.
I'm just asking a question. I hear the gong.
But you just made a point. I don't know. I bet you. I may not be the only one that can probably meet your criteria on the phone. Because just from talking to a couple of these guys, I think they're probably doing pretty good themselves.
Let's take a show of hands. Because I think the conversation would change drastically. You know, look here. This is all I'm saying. Some people waste time, okay? And if they want to waste their time, it's up to them. What I like to do, being a solution-oriented person, I like to challenge people to do and be better. Is that okay?
Man, Mr. Solution, I have said the same thing. Like, I promise you, Michigan.
Answer my question.
Hold on.
I like to challenge.
I didn't hear your question.
To challenge people to do and be better. Is that okay?
That's great, but what I'm telling you is that I have done the same thing. We all do. We talk about owning business.
We all do.
Because I said to myself, what are we going to do? What are we going to mobilize? Why are we always talking? And so I said, let's mobilize. I said that. That's what I said. So it's kind of
like, for example, not having a single grocery store that's well-stocked that you own. Don't you think that should be a priority?
Well, I'm in a market where we got a guy that's in the with Black Enterprises, you know, Calhoun Foods in Alabama.
I'm just simply saying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in a market. I'm not fighting. I'm trying to tell you that the what you're saying is there. I think if you come in insult, because I can understand your frustration sometimes. Let me make a point. I'm saying sometimes I take a break from the radio. I don't call some days because sometimes I may feel like, man, this is just useless. People making the same point. Then I may come, and I'll come back and talk later. But some of these people on this phone have good points, even though we don't agree on everything, and I can use it in application in my life. But
this is
some of some intelligent people.
Today,
I'm just not going to say that they're all clowns and unintelligent fools because it makes you sound a certain way.
Yeah, what's a good point you've heard today that you could employ?
Well, for one, I like hearing Stanley's point of view because Stanley, we have different points of view. I don't even talk to people like Stanley. So for me to hear a person like Stanley talk really makes us say, okay, so that's how they think. That helps me.
I listen to Stanley quite a bit. Stanley is a good expositor. How about any of the others? Did you hear a useful point from any of them?
I mean, I'm sure I can, but what are you trying to say? Like the guy from the Marine, South Carolina, said that you were talking. My brother was in the Marines, but that's when you called up. So, I mean, it just depends. I'm not going to get something out of it. I can't just repeat everything and regurgitate every waking moment of a conversation throughout the day on talk radio. But I'm not going to – and I'm not trying to – you know, like I said, we're not competing or trying to go at each other. But I'm just saying you never know a person's financial situation. And so that's what I'm saying.
You can ask them.
You're right. So I don't know. But my thing is I don't know. So – listen to some of these guys. Some of these guys on this phone, I think they okay. I ain't going to say all of them. They may sound like they got a little something to their name. So everybody on here ain't broke like you just said.
All I'm saying is, again, now you just said you agreed with me. You think a lot of the conversations or word to this effect are not useful either. You said you have said that about conversations you've heard. All I'm saying is this is valuable time. You're spending – time is something you have a limited resource.
Well, this is intellectual stimulation for my lunch break. That's all
okay,
it is. I'll go upstairs and I get back in my cubicle and I'm good.
Okay,
it's
just entertainment.
Not like, yeah.
I hear you on that.
Yeah.
But I hear most of blog talk is a bunch of, as one brother said, hot air from a buffalo.
But let me ask you this, though. Like, this is the thing, though. The black conservative – really doesn't have a big voice in the black community. Most of what you hear is, you know, you'll never get as far, and it's the white man lets you, and you know, you can't do it because of the white man and the system, and the man is going to hold you down. We got a lot of that being preached.
That. That's useless.
No, I understand, but you got a lot of that going on in our community. So this, to me, quite sometimes, you know, sometimes I get from that's just my personality, but sometimes it is refreshing to get on here and hear like-minded black individuals.
Okay.
I can cut my radio on and hear Sean Hannity and yeah, we may agree, and sometimes they get on my nerves, but that's just how it is. But that's just me and my personal personality. But I mean, South Carolina, not even Stanley. Sometimes me and Stanley agree on a lot of points. It's not that we just always attack each other, but sometimes I get frustrated because if I try to come talk to you and we get to a solution, just because that's what men do. Men try to fix stuff. They don't want to sit there and have emotional crying about it. They're like, what are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? What's the answer? That's what men do. Men don't just sit there and just cry about the fact that they feel a certain way. Okay,
who
I feel this
that?
Way. What's the answer?
Wait a minute, who does
that? That's emotional. That's an emotional individual. Women are more emotional than men.
Oh, really?
So that's people that didn't. Yeah. Yeah, women are a lot more emotional. We're not supposed to be like that now. I ain't gonna lie, our society has changed a little bit, but for the most part, that's what a real man is supposed to do.
I agree with what you said. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, Stanley.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. It's like, and it's a solution. It's not because, like you said,
I'm afraid of Americans. I understand, Summer. I definitely do. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Yes, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It is now 8 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm flying solo, it looks like, here today. I had David Bowie, I'm Afraid of Americans, I'm Afraid of the World. I love that song, too. And, you know, I'll say it like this. All of you guys that want to ignore the truth that's going on, that's your own business. But I just wanted something for Stanley, my liberal friend. Osama bin Laden started coming to power as he was radicalized by the Muslim Brotherhood in the 1970s, in the late 1970s. Okay, during the 79, the 89 war, that was during Jimmy Carter, he was used to raise money and supplied heavy machinery for the anti-communist Mujahideen, or holy warriors that fought the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. So he was in place, and we helped place him in place under Jimmy Carter, the last president where we lost a ambassador. I want you to understand it is important that you know history and understand what happened. See, when I almost got sent over to the Middle East from Germany, so I was very well aware of what was going on, and believe you me, they give you orders, but they explain things to you a little bit before they send you into combat. They kind of give you the lay of the land so that you understand what's happening when you go there. In case you get caught or you get in a situation, you understand politically what's going on. And South Carolina's gotten off right now, but I know he could definitely verify that point. But Stanley, I just wanted you to know that. Now you need to go look that up. I need you to go look that up. You know, because that's important. You know, that's important. So anyway, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. How you all doing out there? We're in our last hour of the show, and we're going to talk about what's on your mind and. Solutions, you're still there, and 334, you're still there, Alabama, you're still there, Stanley. And I have two waiting in the queue. You know what to do. If you want to talk to me, you hit that number one, and we'll know you want to talk, and we'll get you on the air. But right now, you know, I'm still miffed about how we believe the stories we're told, and we don't look back. Okay, and then, wait a minute, let me deal with one other thing here first. Bush and Bin Laden were not business partners. The Bin Ladens lived in the United States, and they were super rich people that made their money building the castles of the Arab sheikhs out in Saudi Arabia and several different places. That's how they made their money. They weren't even the oil people directly. They were construction people. And they made a whole lot of money in construction. And not just your regular old build a 100-story building here in the United States. We're talking about building Saudi prince castles and things like that.
But
There's
many things that I disagree with what you're saying. Let's go back to Reagan, like you keep on saying that Reagan was such a good person. Because you say...
I didn't say that, Stanley.
But you said we don't know our history.
You don't know your history.
So what happened with Reagan when... Wasn't Reagan and other senior officials secretly selling arms to Iran to basically...
Not Reagan.
Hostage?
Not Reagan,
that never
but
happened?
I said
that
not
never
Reagan.
Happened.
Will you please
Reagan
be quiet,
sold, did he
Stanley?
Not go ahead,
Stanley. I didn't tell you it didn't happen. It absolutely happened.
Oh, okay, and that was perfectly normal. That was great. That was not.
No, I didn't tell you that was great. I told you what from the very beginning. I didn't like Reagan that much, but
okay.
I can't take away from what Reagan did.
Oh,
Reagan
and don't forget, Reagan also sold an illegal weapon to near Nicaragua, to anti-communists, and
okay.
He did the Iran-Contra affair.
That was
let's
not
go,
Reagan. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay.
Let's go hold the whole history.
Okay. Once again, in your history, understand that you had a particular situation with an ex-CIA chief that was the vice president. You remember that?
Yep.
Okay, who was that ex-CIA chief?
I don't have the name in front of me.
Herbert Walker Bush.
He was Bush. He was the vice president. The vice president was responsible for the Iran-Contra thing, and they knew it. That's where it went back to his door. And they did not want him to be president. He took the first 4 years of the presidency to do what he wanted to do. When he won, and then who did they give it to? Who won the election after that and stayed in there for 8 years?
Clinton.
Bill Clinton. And what did Bill Clinton have to do with Bush 1? Ah, silence in heaven for the space of an hour. Guess what? Bill Clinton helped launder the Iran-Contra money through the chicken farms of his state what did he call it, doggone state?
Arkansas.
Of Arkansas, okay? That's okay. Now you want to talk about history? You want me to really bring that to you? When all of the drugs started pouring.
Everything that he needed to do, Jeff. Let's go through all Reagan did stupid things that he did.
Those were stupid things.
Jeff. I think Reagan has to take certain credit for that because Reagan was the president.
Well, he's the president. That's what I'm saying, but.
So I'm saying, I never argue with nobody about that. That was true. They did do that. But the thing is, Bill Clinton did a lot of crazy stuff. And right now, what we're witnessing right now is Bill Clinton did the complete opposite of what Barack Obama's doing now. And Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton tried to do this healthcare stuff, but he came to the center in '94 when they lost the House and Senate, and he started working with Newt Gingrich, and Bill Clinton did the surplus and all that because they worked together. And then this guy right here, right now, is doing the complete opposite. So it's like everybody's like, we're playing both sides. They're getting to play both sides, and history is just being swept under the rug. Bill Clinton can't stand Barack Obama. Bill Clinton did complete opposite. Like I wouldn't look. I wasn't too heavy into politics in the '90s. But at the end of the day, Bill Clinton worked with the Republicans. This guy is not going to do that. I don't like him. I can't stand to see him on TV talking with his arrogant self. But at the end of the day, if he reaches across the aisle and works with the Republicans and do some bipartisan stuff and start really dealing with this deficit and start really trying to do stuff and make some real moves to reform some of these government programs like Bill Clinton did, then I would have, you know, I would kind of have to just say, man, you got to get off Barack. He did. Because that's just fiscal responsibility and being smart. And anybody, if we had a company or a wallet and we were trying to budget our money and pay our bills, we can't just say, I'm going to keep borrowing and spending. Anybody with a brain would see you have to fix this stuff. And if he's not going to really make a move to fix it, he's not a good president. I don't care if he is a Democrat or Republican. I don't like him, but if he comes in and does something right and do it, I will give him credit just like I'll give Bill Clinton credit.
I pray that he changes some things and comes to some realizations. But 269, you're on the air.
What's going on, man?
Oh man, what's up, man? Me and you was ready to fight yesterday, man. I didn't get a fit. Tracy wouldn't even let me fight you.
Man, I respect my elder, man. I wouldn't have jumped on you like that, man. that'd have hurt me for months, man.
You allowed.
No, but you know what? I was just kind of listening. To put what Mr. Solutions was saying in context, you know, I often tell people this. I say, name me one black philosopher, right, of any subject that whites use to teach that black philosophy or theory on any subject in their public schools, their universities, or their specialty schools. Name one.
Well, Solomon.
Good grief.
You said you asked for it. Now I gave it to you. I said Solomon,
okay.
David, either one. Okay. But at least Solomon, we know. we know what Solomon was.
Well, who's the guy that wrote Things Fall Apart? Who's the guy, the African guy that wrote Things Fall Apart? He's used in public schools too.
I forget his name. Yeah, he's got an African name, an African professor. Normally, particularly if you're talking about philosophy, they'll be in the area of most black scholars are only used in schools where they have African American studies, right, programs. In other words, African scholars who write about American history and stuff like that, for the most part, they don't use none that they write in the white universities. So what Mr. Solutions was saying, I take it from that perspective, meaning even our theories on politics in America, right? Black folks' theory. Who uses it? I mean, where is it useful at? It's not taught. Black theories about European politics is not used in their universities.
But 269, one of the things I'm saying, I don't even think me and Solutions had a disagreement more so than what I was saying was, by listening to these airways, there's some guy who may be the next Barack Obama, so to speak, listening, who right. may actually, you may have a profound effect on the way that guy thinks because you bring an idea. An idea can spark a revolution. So it takes the ideas first, and that's what we're doing. That's why Greece, you know, I mean, I ain't a big Greek guy, but I do know that they would kill Socrates because he sat around. He liked to talk about different ideas, different. He liked to do what we're doing now. He liked to sit around and debate and do. They didn't like that.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. So what you're doing is you're making a change for the better by talking about it. Because if you can affect me and I can affect you, if you kicking the tires of what I believe, which is cool. I don't have no problem with that.
Yeah,
and I hate you.
I think that's what we're doing. What I was doing was putting what he was saying into context. So. Which is the bigger picture, right? Outside of our circle, where is black knowledge used, intentionally used by whites as it relates to them, you know, keeping the expansion going? And I know a lot of y'all think
hold
we are
on 267, you're coming up.
I know a lot of y'all think we are the world and this is all of our country and all that. I understand that, but I think that's what's more important. You don't... Even blacks who have, like Claude Anderson, brilliant economists to me. But as far as white universities and things of that nature, they not interested in his philosophies. They have their own scholars.
Kenya Wachevi is who you were referring to.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, that's him, yeah. So that's what I was saying, and you're right. I mean, I understand about dialogue back and forth. But here's the difference. Let's say you have a group of white contractors who have their blueprints in place and they're getting ready to build a house, so they're having a pre-construction meeting, right? They're laying everything out. I think the scenario is, then we have our construction meeting about their blueprints and how they building the house, and we meeting on how they building the house and what they doing wrong, what they doing right, and then we leave the meeting. Then we come back next week, we analyze what they doing right, then we leave the meeting. Never a meeting on your own blueprints and your own plan to build a house.
But that's why you on the phone too. Not just me. Not like everybody that's conservative has a stupid point. But what I'm saying is that when individuals get on the phone and say we need to own our own, which is one of your big mantras that you always say, which is the same thing Mr. Solution said, which is the same thing I say, then that helps reinforce me in my everyday dealings in life. If I go out here and say, well, I need to manage my money, I need to make sure I got this lined up, so that when I go out and own a business and do this, I can really start making some real changes.
Right.
And I can't do that until we got ourselves together. You see what I'm saying? That's why I like calling the show and talking to different people, because I'm like, well, even though I don't agree with him, what I find refreshing and encouraging is that we're all technically saying the end game, the end solution, so to speak, is only the first thing out of Mr. Solution's mouth, we need to own ownership of our own stuff. And until we get there, we can't get out.
Here's the thing, too, that I'm saying. You know, this is talk radio. Let's face it. We're here to bring about what we're going to bring about. We're here to bring about ideas and get them out to be discussed so somebody can start taking an interest, and then we start putting some things together. You know, I have a great idea for some things, and I'll bounce those ideas off of you guys, and then you guys have some great ideas, and you bounce them off of us. And sooner or later we're going to start coming to some kind of consensus, because, you know, it's just like this, Michigan man. I don't agree with you on that God is a myth, but that's what you believe. That's okay. I can put that aside if we're going to actually sit down and talk about making some type of plan to uplift people.
You threw a curveball in there. Just let me clean that up right quick. God is a concept. And
I understand.
And most concepts about God, they try to give definition to it through mythology. So now don't throw no curveballs, man.
I misunderstood.
Okay.
No, that's not a curveball. That was just my total misunderstanding, so I apologize.
But let me ask you something. Yeah.
Let 267 come in, Alabama.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the reason why Africa is not centered in terms of philosophy and in terms of any respect for African Americans, even till today, is because in the academies where most of the liberal mindset comes from, Europe and Asia is seen as being superior cultures. And they basically operate from an evolutionary point of view. They know that all life began in Africa, but they see most of the cultures that came from sub-Saharan Africa as being on a primitive level. And most of the Egyptologists do not believe that the ancient Egyptians were black people. They believe that they were more like an Asiatic race. That's the reason why Egypt is called as being part of the Orient.
But I didn't say Africa, though, brother. You're going somewhere. I didn't say that. I never said anything about Africa. I said African Americans. I said Europeans don't use African American thought and philosophy.
But African Americans are ultimately derived from Africa, so therefore it would be more of Europeans wanting to use ideas that they believe were African in origin. And they don't
you trying to make some
know why? We are so far removed from anything having to do with where we came from that it's not even funny. And there is no Africanism in us except by any type of
And he's missing the point going that route, what he's saying. He's missing the point of what I was trying to say.
Are coming out of American society, so therefore their ideas are going to be ideas that were already in America.
Bingo, but they still don't use them. That was my point.
Yeah, and not only that, they're really going backwards now. They're not going forward in administration. You know,
go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. I just wanted to make a point, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Make your point.
No, the point. I was thinking when 269 just made that point about the show and how we do everything in the format. I think, and it's just a suggestion. I think certain parts of it being entrepreneurial and really trying to, I guess, discuss the whole aspects as far as how can I go, where can I go, who do I call, you know, what do I need to do, what's the first step in doing setting up certain things so that we can make these moves and do these things. I think that would be very advantageous because I don't have that. And, you know, and a lot of times you go to the bookstore, you read your books, find a mentor. You know, you don't have those people out there in the black sphere, for lack of a better word, to really. You know, a lot of black people that I know that are older in Alabama, in Montgomery, for example, I've went and talked to people. I don't help people. They stab you in the back. You know, I've heard that. So, I mean, it's good if certain people on this phone have certain resources, can point me to certain banks, certain things, say, man, all you got to do now is credit. You know, I think that would be good once a week or so to kind of put people on, man. Like, just
right.
I think that'll be great because then people say, man, I can go to this bank up here. They'll do an out-of-state loan. You just need to have a 650 credit score. You need to have 2 years tax return, and they'll do this and do that. Man, look, that's putting people on right there. That's what I'm looking for, and I'll be glad to share whatever information. If you get to talking and it's something I know about, I'll be glad to bring it up and put it out there.
The one thing that we are going to do since the election is over and we're going to have to settle into this next 4 years of total uncertainty is we're going to be putting together, focus groups that will focus on what can really change a society. or change of people, people's lot in their society. It's just like you were saying earlier that, you know, Solutions was saying, you know, that, hey, you know, your neighborhoods are run down, this, that, and other. My neighborhood's not run down, but I know what he's saying, okay, because I don't live in a predominantly black neighborhood, and in the neighborhood I live in, they don't allow you to run your property down. It just ain't going to happen. And, you know, it's one of those things that you have to deal with. You have to appreciate one thing. We're here in America with more potential than they have almost any place on the globe because of our political system, our access, because of raw materials, because of pure brain power. That's why many African American people are going, that we're in the corporate world especially, are going back over to Africa, and they're starting huge corporations, mm-hmm. and they're doing well.
Yeah, they are.
They are doing well. Look at a thing called Blacks Without Borders.
Yep.
And you will see, and even if they have some church people going over there starting churches, and they're doing well. And the thing is, the thing is you have to understand that you were brought here, and possibly so that you could go back there and redo the whole system so that it'll work for you and have a truly free system, because it's still free enough. It's still not enough, so much government over there that you can't really start a movement and make something happen.
And you know, Jeff. I might add something to that, man. That bring the point that the conservative blacks make about less government regulations.
Right.
It's particularly if they are entrepreneurs and want to be into business. You talking about less regulations? Go to Africa. I mean, you know, they're moving, but it's the possibilities. I mean, you're absolutely right, man. The possibilities are, you know, are phenomenal.
Yeah, you know what, though? The Michigan, like, that's funny you said. My homeboy just came from Uganda a while ago.
Okay.
He was just telling me, he came back. We promoted concerts a couple of times. He was just telling me, this is just a nugget. He's just telling me, man, them folks over there, they can't never get a show, but they'll pay $20, $30 to get in the show, just like we will. And they'll bring a mediocre $8,000 artist over there, and it'll be 20,000 folks showing up.
Yep.
But it's predominantly white promoters. They pay these people. Now, they might have to pay a little more for that artist because he's going to have to travel internationally, entourage, but even still, with the rider. But just in that arena of promoting concerts, the it's boundless over there. Like,
Alabama,
I feel you. Like,
I'm going to say something, man. I'm telling people this because I've been to Uganda. And the possibilities, man, and it's almost like – that's why when I hear people say, oh, man, they don't want us over there. Oh, man, they eating people, you know, and oh, man, they going to cut your throat.
That's just ignorant. That's just stupid.
Man, and I'm not just – pick any industry you can think of, and the possibilities over there, man, are tenfold better than over here.
I agree with you.
That's probably what's going to happen with African Americans, that they're going to start to migrate back to the continent over time.
I believe
that. It's going to be more of a global economy, and a lot of job prospects are going to be in Africa.
Yep.
But you know what kind of bothered me more than anything? You watch that show on TLC. You got people, white. You know, I don't care about their color, but you got white people coming from America going all the way over to Africa, and the Chinese are over there. And this guy bought a plot of land. They was digging for gold. He win and lose. You know, it's just like business. You win, sometimes you lose.
Yep.
But he's over there competing with Chinese, and I'm sitting there watching with my mouth dropped. Like, these guys came from Utah, got an investor, went over to Africa, they done got a dread. They over there making money. They making bank. They drinking. Sometimes they make money, sometimes they don't.
Right.
He comes on TLC, and I'm sitting there like, you mean to tell me they were there and paid crumbs for a plot of land to dig for gold, and they just, and I'm sitting there just looking, and I'm sitting like, you mean it's that easy? Like, these people just jumping on planes, flying over to Africa from Utah. You know they don't look like us, and they going there making a killing. It come on during the week. I don't know what day, but
you
I love
what?
That show.
Here's the thing, though. Now look at this contrast in our own conversation right now. This is the contrast that we have to bring nationally, because we have people that they're not thinking anything about opportunity. They're thinking about checkatunity. And when you look for that, that's what you're looking for. I could care less, you know, that they want to shut everything down a certain way. I'm looking for the next move. There's always a next move. I don't care if it's the final frontier. I don't care if it's outer space. There's got to be another move, because you have to go on from here. You can't stay camped here where you're not getting anything.
Right.
Where you're being held as a cow to a system that makes you vote for it and then gives you hardly anything in return.
Right. Yeah.
That's no good for us. That's no good for any American people. That's not good for anything. But the American people, you're making and causing your own demise by forgetting your own standards that you once had. Didn't say we did everything right. Didn't say we did everything right. But you had societal standards that kept people in line and honest to a major degree. And there was, like I said, there was always greed. There's always going to be greed. But basically, we didn't have the craziness we had.
Hey, Jeff.
But you know what, though, Stanley, I went to Africa. A lot of people over there want to do business with us. Your Americanism, they wear suits and ties. Our culture, just like being a black man and dating women from another country, they love us. And when it comes to doing business in a foreign country as an African-American, they look at you like a albino tiger, like, whoa, like, you know, they really are impressed, especially if you own your business. You can't come over that bull job. I mean, you got to be serious about it now.
This is Mr. Solution. Can you hear me?
Let me just add something to that right quick. And the reason why is because they don't see us over there as much as they see the other groups. That's why they be like, wow. You know, I mean, they really excited about that. Because they don't see us, but
That's true.
Know we have a lot of knowledge and skill and money.
But they don't see
everybody else except us. That's it.
Right. Solutions, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Look, Jeff, I would do a roll call here every time in order, you know, to create the nurturing and the progressive process that's necessary. I would use those three standards, an individual's bills current, monthly bills current, do they have a year's saving in reserve, and, of course, that elimination once every 12 hours. And I would use that as a criteria for promoting health and progressivity within the individual first, because, you know, you've heard the old adage, a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. And I would use that to, like I say, as a criteria, and people could actually work on achieving that. As a result of the, I believe, the 2008 housing debacle, black Americans lost virtually all of their equity because most of it was contained in their homes. So that has to be rebuilt. Another thing I would do, since I know you guys are multicultural, get an Asian person on to talk about how they see the economic reality. And people can learn from other people. In fact, they should. Everybody is a lesson. You understand it properly. So I would suggest those two things and those are entertaining, by the way, too. I understand that people need to be entertained at the same time they're being informed. But I'm talking about legitimately informed, because what happens is there's never a connection made between this highfalutin conversation that the people have and their personal growth. You see, they neglect their personal growth to talk about issues around the world. And I use the example sometimes, I say the conscious brothers can solve the mysteries of the universe, but they can't pay their damn rent.
Well, once again, you're correct in many of what you're saying, and I agree with you. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to make this work a certain way. And the thing is, it's the whole purpose of being on talk radio. It's not just to win a freaking election. The election doesn't mean anything because that's a mark in time. But what's going to make the difference is if you really get an understanding of how systems work and how you have been being used or abused by those systems. And then you can do that. Let's get to where we can pay our rent and have our year or two of savings so that we don't have to go on anything. We're going to have to go to news right now. We'll be right back after news.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A man is being held in the Mahoning County Jail on $2.5 million bond for trying to kill 21 people by crashing a semi into a strip club in Austintown. 44-year-old Surin.
Hey, Solution. Solutions, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, the point you were just making is interesting because I have a career. We have a plant in Alabama. A lot of people heard it's a Hyundai plant they just built here. Hyundai has built the plant here. And we have had an influx of Korean businesses and stuff. Man, those people, I love talking to them because they have a mindset of just they don't see, they don't accept defeat. Those people come over here, they don't accept defeat with their kids when they come to grades. They don't accept defeat in business. They think they're supposed to win. They expect to win. And they make moves, and they don't, they're not real wasteful with their money, their spending habits. A lot of things, I think that would be good to bring that into the conversation with us, and also the whole aspect of, I guess I just wanted to kind of ask a question as well. So, I mean, I agree that I think certain times people call these shows and talk a certain way like they got it all together, and they don't, or they're being hypocritical. But at the same time, if I'm trying, if a person, let's say hypothetically, a person is not where they should be, do you want them to listen to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I need to listen to people like you. I need to listen to people like Michigan, Stanley, everybody on within the sound of this show that calls up. I need people like that in my life because, let's be honest, a lot of people that aren't, like what you just said, don't have that influence. They have people calling them, hey, let's go to the strip club. Hey, let's go get drunk. But a lot of people don't have that mentality, don't have people in their lives to help. So a lot of times I think this does serve the benefit, you know, because let's be honest, you either can turn, you can change the dial and go listen to Lil Wayne and people talking about dope, or you can listen to something constructive that's going to challenge you to think.
Well, let
so
me
I think
something,
it's, I
Alabama,
think it's good.
Did you ask him a question or you just make a statement?
I did both. I talked about the Asians and I asked a question. But you can go ahead, anybody can answer.
Yeah. Well, it's really not a question, but I think, for instance, I've been on a couple of shows with Mr. Solutions, and to me, there are certain things, you know, that I would never listen to. I mean, that I don't think Mr. Solutions could even offer solutions on, because it's clear he has no consciousness of it or affinity toward it or even necessarily agree with it. Like I've asked him, he seems to be well off, but he don't have a dime of his money in a black bank. So that tells me he's, while he may have know about.
Hold on, Michigan. It ain't that many black banks out there.
Hold on, man. I'm making a point, brother. That's all.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm making a point of while someone may have, you know, they, you may be able to sit down with them and they can show you how to do a business plan, or show you how to, you know, create another stream of income and things of that nature. But all of that stuff has to be added to other stuff. You see, the politics, all that stuff is intertwined. So it ain't separate. And so while some people may be good at certain stuff and may have knowledge about certain stuff, and some they may not. You see? It was almost like pulling teeth. He didn't even want to entertain the idea of putting his money in the black bank. And to me, that's crazy.
Well, we got a bank. We got First Tuskegee Bank here in Montgomery, Alabama. Terrible bank. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Unorganized.
Yeah.
I did some dealings with them, but I'm going to be honest with you. I expect, if I'm going to do business with you, I expect a level of excellence. I expect just like I'm going to get from a white-owned, small branch, three-branch bank that will treat you with respect and smile when you walk in the door. They had a lot of black women working in that bank. You come in there, they got funk attitudes, they don't want to help you.
I mean, it's kind of it's a double-edged sword.
Just move it. That's not the only bank. You can move the money. It don't have
but
to be
that's the only one in this city. I would have to ride thousands of miles probably. I mean, I don't know where no bank is outside of First Tuskegee. You just said yourself it ain't number maybe three or four.
That's not a good criteria for
There's about 38 of them.
A bad idea, but what you should be promoting is that the churches.
Now that's a whole different political subject.
Black people are the most church-going people.
Well, then, and just to let you in on another piece of information, which I told you that as well. Actually, the rise of faith-based, black-owned, faith-based credit unions, it is on the rise. That's probably about 280 of them. So
I'm glad you brought that up. Credit unions are actually better than banks because they're more customer-oriented.
I agree.
They're easy to get loans from, I tell you that.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're a little bit easier.
Own them. But what I would encourage, based on you, even though you didn't ask a question a moment ago, I'll go ahead and frame a question out of your statement.
Hello?
Yeah, somebody got a bad connection somewhere.
You're getting understanding starting to roll in a little bit, and that's very, very important. Very important. And I appreciate all the callers for that. 773, you are on the air. Talk to me.
Well, I see you talking about business, and you said that I think the solution said something about an Asian businessman.
Where you been, Chicago?
You sneaking in on me. Well, the thing is that what black folks have lost, and I don't think they're ever going to get back, when the black person becomes a millionaire or a billionaire, do business and someone else has helped them to become a multimillionaire or a billionaire, meaning of another race, you already have over a million black-owned small businesses or mom-and-pop businesses in America. So the businesses are there.
Right.
They don't have the capital to grow to hire more blacks. So until black folks adapt like they did in the 20s with the Asians, the Indians, the Arabs, the Jews, once they adapt, the millionaires and the billionaires start doing either business with the small business person, black business person, so they can grow, create contracts with that small business so they can grow and hire more blacks and put their resources in it so they can create a monopoly of black-owned businesses so they can grow and hire more blacks, then you will start seeing a change in black communities. But the black millionaires and billionaires go away. They don't conversate with the small black businesses or the mid-sized black businesses. They say, what is it exactly do you need? And we know what it is, capital, so you can grow, so you can hire more black people and train them, so you can put your people to work. Until black millionaires and billionaires do that and come to realization that they had help by other races of people for them to become rich and come back to the areas in which they come from and talk to those small black businesses and said, I'm here to help you, then you'll start seeing a change in black businesses.
Here's what I'll tell you. That's not going to ever work. And I look at
Black people are going to continue to be in the state that they've been in for the last 50 years.
Would decline, actually.
Here's what I tell you. I don't think so. And this is what's going to happen. There's a saying that says that the necessity is the mother of invention. Okay, well, check this out. If the people that know how the system works, we're telling people right now, quit depending on the government for a check. Quit sitting back waiting for somebody to hand something. Oh, listen.
You're talking about two different people.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the black businesses
that's in the black community?
Are you talking about
the black folks that don't have a drive that's just willing to stay on welfare?
I'm talking about the people that you were saying solutions that we need to find out whether they pay their rent, whether they have a year's savings, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't. And I'm telling you, they don't for a very good reason. They've been brainwashed to believe that they should be in the position that they're in. They've been brainwashed to believe that they cannot attain unless somebody helps them attain. And I'm saying this. You don't need somebody to necessarily help you attain, but you, your own little family, et cetera, et cetera. You need them to help you attain in this country, because the country, still, with all of these regulations and craziness that have happened over the past 4 years and probably will continue for the next four, you still have a huge modicum of freedom here to make money. Now, with that in mind,
but
the
you don't control the economics in your own neighborhood.
But that's
what
I'm getting ready to tell you how.
And the Arabs are not hiring blacks in your area, but
well,
other Arabs and Koreans.
I agree.
Controlling the economics in your black area.
You're
black,
too far away from your phone.
It is black businesses in the black community, but they're not hiring anyone. Why is that? It's because they don't have the capital to grow, to train those black folks that might be on welfare.
They can't afford those black folks because those black folks don't have the same mindset as them. Now, we've heard a lot about people saying, listen to what I'm saying.
Not all.
Listen.
Look here. The gentleman does have a valid point. But what I would say to you, and I think you undercut that standard that I just gave you, that is a very, very valid and necessary standard. And you'd be shocked. A lot of, I'm going to say, black Americans and a lot of white Americans, a lot of all Americans don't meet that standard. But if you want to just, talk about black Americans for a moment,
black people are in a state of just a disaster. 30% unemployment rate for black males in America, that is a disaster.
But wait a minute. Maybe you didn't hear the standard that I gave earlier. I said that before a person offers advice, they should at least have or be working toward having all their bills current, having 1 year's salary in reserve. That's what financial planners tell us. It used to be 6 months. About 10 years ago, it was 3 to 6 months. Now it's a year's salary in reserve to meet any emergencies. And, of course, I've added have an elimination at least once every 12 hours so you won't be toxic. So, in other words, if you don't meet those first two standards, you are distracted. If you don't meet
Mr. Solution,
the third standard.
Most of the black inventors or the black people that have great ideas were poor. So, apparently, they never had any money. So, when the white people or the Jews came along and said, this black man has a great invention and great idea. We can make money and make him rich. So until black millionaires come to the realization that someone else has invested in their product or their ideas and come back and say, I'm going to do exactly what that white man or that Jew did by investing into my idea for my black people.
Listen,
you know.
Can I say something to 269?
That you meant.
Yeah, Bobby Wright, Dr. Bobby Wright. He said the worst thing that a black can do is to take the black phenomenon and put it into a white formula to see if it'll work. A black social phenomenon, they put it into a white formula.
Open the box and everything.
Hello?
Hey, Alabama, you just going crazy down there, man.
to see if it works. And for the most part, I think the formula that Mr. Solution uses is an example of what Dr. Bobby Wright says, meaning taking that white formula of that and then trying to say, every black should meet that standard. And then we move from there. That will never happen in a capitalist society. No, everyone will never have a year's worth of income saved up. Debt is a part of capitalism, so having debt is not necessarily a bad thing.
And Donald Trump went broke. So
most billionaires have debt.
Let me say something to you here. I understand Solutions' thought and everything, and I understand what he's saying. But my point is this. You have to undo somebody's background is really loud, y'all. You have to undo the mindset of a lot of people. And because a lot of people do not have the same mindset that we are thinking like. And that's the whole thing. It's just like, you know, many of us that are conservatives. We're conservative in thought. We're not conservative because Republicans are conservative. We think like that. That's why we support that. It's not because we think that these people are good or they're not prejudiced, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but Jeff, you got to understand, mindset is created by intelligent interaction. Mindset
no, it is not. No, sir. No, it is called
more than people.
No, that's where I totally disagree with you on.
Mindset is nothing more than people learning a better method and formula.
Mindset is people learning what they are told, and you have to understand that you have been, as a people, totally dehumanized over the years. Every time you raised your head up, somebody smacked it down with a board.
Jeff, and this is the point. One can move away from that.
Precisely my point, but you have to undo what was done first, my friend.
That's what I'm saying, and maybe you need to say exactly how to do that. See, I'm a solution-oriented.
I was getting there.
Wait a minute. I'm a solution-oriented person, and I want to know A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. What do you do? I don't want to talk about it and hover over it forever. I want to know what direction to take now.
This is the now.
I don't like to talk an issue to death. I like to do it.
Well, sir, then let me finish, and I'll give you the total way to do this. Just like in spite, somebody's background is killing me. Hold on.
Everybody self mute.
Okay. Yeah, everybody self mute if you got talking in the background. If you are sitting there and you have a spinal cord injury, they have now devised a way that they're experimenting with where they take where that injury has been broken and they put in good cells, okay? They put in the good cells, and it starts to regenerate the good cells and make a connection. And the brokenness is repaired. They've done it with dogs and rats and cats. My point is this. You're going to have to get a microcosm of people and inject it into your communities to change this because their mindset cannot see anything but Obamacare, welfare, a crazy check, and this is what we're going to go after. And that's a good 30-40% of people.
47%.
Yeah, 47%.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Jeff, look here. I think it was Du Bois, and I'm providing you good potential show material. What you should do is have some of the talented tent. In other words, what's called the black
solutions.
Elite. You should have the black elite call in and inject some
on?
Ideas.
Solutions, when's your show on?
Hello?
Do you have a show?
Hello?
Hey, Solutions, do you have a show?
No, I don't have a show. There are plenty of lackluster shows that need good input, good information.
So you find a lackluster show, and then you call in to the lackluster show and add your enlightenment.
Wait a minute. Is this my girl? What's going on? I didn't know that was you.
Ah!
Well, listen, I want to say somebody listen to Jeff. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're talking about Greece.
See, I like straight.
Get the last word in.
I'm still waiting for Mr. Solution Supermarket.
330. Hey, God bless everybody. Afternoon with Tracy and Fred.
Well, wait a minute. What do you need to understand? That's not my field.
We love you guys. We'll see you on the month. About Greece and America and how we have to be careful that we don't end up like that.
Yep.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Jeff, thanks for hanging out and taking care of
me.
I did the Jeff today.
God bless everybody.
You ain't even right, Tracy. I'm out of here. Did you at least have fun while you were doing it?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, good.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. So many people are buying tickets to tomorrow night's Powerball drawing that the jackpot has swelled to $500 million. And it could get even bigger.
Big money tonight.
With the massive jackpot, more Americans are taking part in states where Powerball is played. Chuck Strutt at the Multi-State Lottery Association tells us there is still a chance nobody will win and the jackpot will go even higher.
There's a 60% chance that there will be a winner on Wednesday.
What's helping ticket sales right now? Powerball says lower gas prices. When prices drop, people are willing to spend money on lottery tickets. Alex Stone, ABC News.
House Republicans are warning small businesses about the dangers of the president's plans to stop the economy from veering off the so-called fiscal cliff.
A spokesman for Speaker John Boehner says the real target of President Obama's rally this Friday should be congressional Democrats who want to raise taxes on small businesses and hurt jobs. House Republicans are being urged to rally with small business owners this week and next to push back against the president's proposals.
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. Senator Lindsey Graham says he's more disturbed now after meeting with U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice about her initial explanations of the deadly attack of the U.S. consulate in Libya.
The concerns I have are greater today than they were before, and we're not even close to getting the basic answers.
White House.